The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
For the love of God!
You're listening to Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR with Preston Elliott.
You will listen to every damn word I have to say!
And Steve Morrison.
Words are like bullets.
Plus, Casey Boy.
Lay off me, I'm starving.
Kathy Romano.
I'm going to destroy everything you own!
Nick McElwain.
I'm just not the hero type.
And Marissa Magnata.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
And now, Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Good morning and welcome. We're getting started. It's Thursday. Yep. It just so happens to be so. And we're going to say goodbye to that dreary rain and stuff that we had yesterday and snow and all that. We're going to have sunny skies, but it's going to be cold today. The high only about 38 degrees and a little bit of wind as well. So keep that in mind. So temperature is going to feel even cooler than that. Warming up over the next couple days, but the rain is coming back. Showers tomorrow afternoon and evening, high 45, and that's going to lead to pretty steady rain on Saturday with a high 55, and then by the time we get to Sunday, we'll be cooling off again. 46 will be our high with partly cloudy skies. Let us see how we're doing on the road so far. Look at traffic. What's up this morning, Kathy?
This traffic report is brought to you by Alex and Ani for thoughtful gift giving. Leave it to the experts at Alex and Ani. Today, only get 50% off rings. Visit alexandani.com or head in store for this exclusive offer, Alex and Ani, when it should mean something. We start the morning off with a disabled vehicle, 95 northbound, right at the Blue Road. Actually, looks like it's just been cleared. South on 95 slows from the Betsy Ross Bridge through to Girard. Schuylkill in good shape, no problems on the Blue Road this morning. In Princeton, New Jersey, we do have an accident. 206 closed in both directions between Quaker Road and Elm Road. This is an overturned vehicle with down pole and down wires. 55 northbound, that's jammed Deptford to the 42 freeway. This traffic report brought to you by Allstate. With an Allstate agent, you get a local expert and help finding the best coverage for you. Plus, when you bundle home and auto, you can save. So call your local Allstate agent today. Are you in good hands? And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Thursday, December 12th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the Free Library of Philadelphia wants people to be able to access books, so they are dropping their late fees. The Board of Trustees voted Wednesday to approve a measure that would eliminate most overdue fines throughout the free library system. They are joining many libraries across the country by removing overdue fines as a barrier for customers. The board says it's looking forward to welcoming back delinquent customers and their long-missing materials. There will still be fees for books that are lost or destroyed. The fees of the are the cost of the item as listed in their catalog. The library also accepts new or gently used copies of lost or destroyed materials as a replacement in lieu of the payment. The library has not determined a start date for the new policy. The Free Library of Philadelphia will remain under the current fine policy until they are finished with the training of their staff.
The library used to be a usual visit on the weekend. My dad, my brother, and I would go to the library and take out stuff all the time. Yeah. And I haven't been to the library in years.
I know. Yeah. We used to do the same thing, and there were like specific books we would get. I remember some of them had recipes at the back of them. So, you know, if there was a cake for one of them, and I'd always say to my mom, let's go get the book so we can
let's
make
get the
cake.
Book. Yeah.
And we would go to the library and get them. But my mom was infamous for this was
late
her.
Fees.
Late fees, never returning them. We still have library books. Like, she just never returned them.
Yeah. My family still goes quite a bit, especially down the shore. There's a little library down there, you know, like beach reading and stuff like that.
Oh, it's cool.
No, it's great for
me,
kids.
Though. Yeah.
No, it really is great for kids because, like, you're going to get a book that you can return. You don't have to spend the money on something that they may or may not read. You know, I go all the time as well. Casey's is a great library in Wayne. It was closed for a couple of years, and they reopened it. They renovated it. It's a really nice place to hang out.
I loved the idea of the library.
Right.
Going to the library. It was neat, all the books on the shelves and so much information, so many adventures right there. And then I would take the book home and I wouldn't read it.
Yeah.
That's exactly me and the library. I'm a different person now. I love reading now. Yeah. But when I was younger and the library was a regular thing, you would go there for study projects as well, stuff like that. And I wouldn't do anything when I'd go there for that too.
You were a great student.
But I love the idea of the library. I know it was terrible.
You know, but I was taking out stuff like on the paranormal, famous disasters, you know, all the quirky, dumb stuff I'm into now, I was reading about then.
We're always looking for the, there was always a rumor of that, you know, this book has boobs in it.
Yeah, the art section.
Oh,
yeah.
What
go to the art section.
Art section. Uh-huh.
Or Nat Geo.
So
yep.
You know what the free libraries are having trouble with now? So an issue, homeless people, because it is free, that they'll go in to try to get warm and kind of just to give themselves something to do. And some of them are getting overrun.
Okay. I need to go to, I used to go to the Ridley Library all the time. I wonder if it still smells the same. Do you know what I mean?
That,
like the library had that smell. Yeah.
Totally.
Yep.
So they're going to eliminate these late fees. If you lost or stole the book, you're still going to be charged. But late fees, you can basically take it out and bring it back whenever you want. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell weighed in on the Pro Bowl controversy involving former Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Michael Vick. Arguably one of the most talented former NFL players, Vick arrived to Philadelphia on a second chance after pleading guilty in 2007 for his role in a dogfighting ring and served
big
nearly...
Big dogs running! Big dogs out!
And served nearly 2 years in prison. Vick is set to be an honorary captain during the Pro Bowl on January 26th. A Change.org petition called on the NFL to revoke the honor. Over 550,000 people signed the petition. Other petitions also surfaced since the news spread. The petition cites the cruel and inhumane killing of dogs that led to Vick's conviction. During a Wednesday media briefing, Goodell said he doesn't anticipate any changes with Vick, and we have his clip.
Over the last, 9 years or so, I've supported Michael in his, what I think his recognition of the mistake that he made. He's paid a heavy price for that. He has been accountable for it. He's worked aggressively with the Humane Society and other institutions to deal with animal rights and to make sure people don't make the same mistake he made. And I admire that.
Goodell went on to say that some people will never forgive him, and Vic knows that, but that he's taken his life in a positive direction. Police in Delaware County are trying to figure out where a petroleum-based odor is coming from. This is the third incident now, and still no idea what the odor is. Delaware County officials have created a task force which involves federal, local, and state officials to get to the bottom of it. Calls started coming into Delaware County 911 call center on Saturday morning in the area of Upland and Mount Vernon in Brookhaven. The area where the odor has originated is believed to be about a five-mile stretch along the Delaware River from Tinicum to Marcus Hook. An area that is home to a number of industries. The problem is by the time the response team arrives with their equipment, the odor has dissipated. So now county officials are changing strategies. They're going to equip first responders in the affected communities with portable air pollution detectors. The task force will also be notified of an emission using a special alert system. Officials are looking for whistleblowers who may know the source of the odor. If you smell any mysterious odors in that area, you are urged to call 911. In sports this morning...
Ball sacks are yummy.
Ball sacks are yummy.
What the f*** is that? The Flyers lost to the Avalanche 3-1 last night in Colorado.
What the f*** is this?
Goalie Pavel Francouz overshadowed a stellar game from Carter Hart. The Avalanche scored once in each period with Claude Giroux getting the Flyers on the board with 5:12 to play, but that's all Francouz gave up on the night as he earned the win with 32 saves. Hart stopped 24 of 27 shots in the loss. The Flyers are off until Saturday night when they'll travel to Minnesota to play the Wild. The Sixers are on the road tonight with the game in Boston against the Celtics. While the Sixers remain perfect at home with a record of 13-0, they've struggled on the road and are only 5-7 away from South Philly. The Celtics are also undefeated at home this season with a record of 10-0. Tip-off is at 8 o'clock. Eagles linebacker Kamu Brugier-Hill has been cleared through concussion protocol. He's expected to return to practice today and will be able to play against the Redskins on Sunday. He also missed the first three games of the season with a knee injury that he suffered the first week of training camp. Today's practice will be the Eagles' first since their overtime win against the Giants on Monday night. And in Thursday night football, the New York Jets will travel to Baltimore to play the Ravens, who have won 9 games in a row and have the best record in the AFC at 11-2. Kickoff is scheduled for 8:20. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you, Kathy. Nice work on some of those names, by the way. Very well done. I have to say, we welcome you to Thursday morning, and we have stuff going on. We have a lot going on. We're getting ready for our Christmas Miracle broadcast. It's 1 week from today. 1 week from this very morning at this time, we'll be cracking the mics and we'll be doing it live at Parks Casino.
Yeah.
In the Excite Center, this big venue that they have there.
Worked out so well the first time, which is the last time we did it. We loved it.
We'll be filling that up, so listen for your chance to call in and get on board. I'm not going to do it at this very moment, but we'll have your opportunity to win some passes to come and hang out for the morning. And whether you win or not, we'll do our best to make it a good time for you. So, you okay, buddy?
Yeah.
I know, you get, it's been happening to me lately. Just every now and then I'll breathe in and...
How do you breathe again?
I know, exactly. I need a refresher course. So we'll have passes for that. We have guest-wise on the program, Mr. Michael Rappaport stopping by. He'll be at Helium Comedy Club tonight, Friday and Saturday. Michael's been in a gazillion movies, and he's a really funny guy. And his videos that he does online are very, very funny, too.
Very funny.
The moose fight, when I hadn't seen that, you had mentioned it yesterday, Steve. Nick showed it to me. I was cracking up. It's really funny.
And audio-wise, he gets a good sound that actually sounds like he's on site. But the fight itself is pretty wild. It's actually an actual moose fight on the front lawn of a home in Alaska. But
and Michael is commentating as if he's taking the video, and he's just saying this outrageous stuff. Ma, get over here. Where are you going? It's really funny.
It's like a buffalo or something.
So he'll be in the studio this morning, so we'll spend some time with him. And I know that we've been getting backed up with prizes, so we'll have your chance to win a variety of things through the course of the morning today. And I'm sure I'm forgetting some stuff, so we'll figure it out. Kathy heard me make a noise right before I came in here. It's just... I was like... I don't know.
It was like the start of the show's noise.
Some guttural thing where I'm just like, God, I'm tired. I need to get up and get moving.
We've had an extra packed week this week, but we shall soldier on.
We shall.
What are you guys doing later this afternoon?
Stuff. Okay. We got things all going right. on. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment and do have some entertainment stories that I'm just dying to share with you. And why is there...
Oh, goddamn.
So normally I hit a button on what we call faders, these things that bring the volume up on elements like
what
music.
What the f*** is this?
And I hit the button with the fader down, and then I bring it up, and you hear that music that normally takes us out of one of these breaks. Well, it wasn't there that time, but let me try it now. All right, I just hit the button. Let me turn this up. And
there it is.
All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back in a moment. Stupid question and the entertainment stuff is on the way next. Yeah, we're having that kind of day, too. We'll be right back.
On 93.3 WMMR. Here comes the MM.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so we're going to test your knowledge, and I'm trying to find holiday-themed questions, as many as possible. So I got one today, and we're going to give away, by the way, $50 Star Restaurants gift card. So the question that I have for you is, in How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the 1966 TV movie, the lyrics of the song Fahu Fores were purposely written to imitate what language? 215-263-WMMR. All right, the lyrics of the song Fahu Fores were reportedly written to imitate what language? 215-263-WMMR. Let's even know the answer. Okay, so we'll go through some birthdays. There's a bunch of them today on Thursday, December 12th. Mr. Bob Barker celebrates his 96th birthday.
96.
Today.
God bless. He had a couple of falls. I think it was about a year ago. And he's doing well.
Yeah. He was just the best. Just one of the best of the game show hosts ever.
He is to that show what Trebek is to Jeopardy. Yeah. They're the best at it, and they both clearly love those particular games.
96 today. Stunningly beautiful and very talented Jennifer Connelly celebrates her 49th birthday.
Love her.
Won an Oscar for her role in A Beautiful Mind.
Yep. Yeah.
I always think she looks sad.
Do you really?
Well, you're operating from the 2 hours you spent with her in the House of Sand and Fog or whatever.
Oh, dear God.
Most depressing movie ever made.
Well, and the other one with Bradley Cooper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's just not that into you, that one?
No, it's...
she's in that. And he's in that.
And she plays his wife,
who he's cheating on
with Scarlett Johansson.
Cigarettes and all that.
Okay, I'm thinking of a different one.
Yeah.
Like, she's very sad in that, too.
Yeah, you're right. I saw Career Opportunities a couple of months ago. It was just on, and I've never really seen the movie beginning to end. I've only seen
you don't need
of it.
To.
And in the beginning of it, she comes in and she's a teenager, and her dad, I guess, is a politician, and he has a couple of people over.
Yeah,
and she walks up, and just to shock her father because she's kind of a bad girl, walks over and like open mouth kisses this old man, and I'm like,
but there's two guys so there, and the other gorgeous. Guy's like, I guess I'm getting it next, and she just walks away.
She goes, hi, and then she walks away. It's pretty wild, but she is, she's virtually perfect in my world. She's 49 years old today. Kathy Rigby, the Olympic gymnast, actress, is 67.
Yeah, she was on the $6 Million Man one time, Preston.
She was?
Oh, yeah. It was an incredible episode.
Okay.
She played a Russian gymnast.
Did she? Okay, I was curious.
And she saw a pinball machine, and she said, you put pin in ball?
Oh, God.
And of course, Steve Austin had to clarify. No, stupid.
Sheila E., former protege of Prince, singer, and outstanding percussionist.
Whole family is, right?
Yeah. Her dad was in Santana. May still be. I'm not 100% sure. What's his last name? Estevez? What is her?
Escobedo?
Escobedo. I was way off. Okay. Anyhow, she is 62 years old today. Yeah, she's a great drummer. Speaking of great musicians, Dickie Betts of the Allman Brothers Band. Celebrating his 76th birthday today.
Love this song.
Yeah, this is a great tune, man. They have so many great songs. They were really, you know, they took that bluesy southern rock thing and made it progressive.
They did.
They really
stretch
these things out and played these very complex pieces of music that were just really, really impressive. So.
And where you sometimes in a long jam you can get bored, they always kept it interesting.
Agreed. So Dickie is 76 today. Bill Nye, the actor, movies like Love Actually, that starts making the rounds, already has this time of year.
Is it a Christmas movie?
Yeah, it qualifies. Absolutely.
I've never seen it. I know you guys talk about it.
You should.
Yeah.
It's a fun movie. It really is.
It's a lot of beautiful people, I love the intertwining stories nature of movies like that.
Yep.
But at its heart, it's pretty beautiful, all the things that are happening. There's a couple of things that are a little bit on the sadder side.
It's officially the first in the Underworld series, correct? Which he's also in.
Oh, I was not aware that they were. I need to go back and see that again to see how they're connected.
Yeah, he's a lichen.
But Casey, it's very much a Christmas movie.
Okay, yes. And there's another one called Notting Hill that I've never seen.
Another good one.
Wow.
I should probably watch both of those.
Yeah.
Okay.
I recommend them. They're two of my favorites. Bill Nye, and he's hilarious in this movie. He's 70 years old today. Mayim Bialik.
Awesome.
As I saw that it was her birthday today, this immediately popped in my head. And I thought of Kathy dancing, too.
My high school cheerleading team. That's what the dance is.
Oh, you did the Blossom Dance?
Yep.
Really?
Just me. Like, it wasn't like a routine dance. Oh, okay. I just busted out in Blossom Dance.
A wonderful success with the Big Bang Theory, too. She's 44 today.
And she's also a legitimate scientist. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the last birthday I saw is the great actor Tom Wilkinson.
Yeah.
Who's been in everything from Batman Begins to The Patriot, The Bedroom, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Just goes on and on and on. He's a great actor, so happy birthday to him today. And Casey's daughter, Casey, is 14. She's
Oh my God.
2 years away from driving.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yes.
That's what happens.
Wow.
Time advances.
Yeah.
If you're lucky.
And it goes so much faster as you get older. So
yeah, it does, man.
Yeah, so she's having a good year so far, and this is her last year in grade school, and happy birthday.
On
she's
to bigger and better things.
Yeah, so onward and upward, as they say. But I'm sure she's actually sleeping right now. So.
She's on to high school next?
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy.
Amazing. Happy birthday to Casey. All right, we will see if we can get an answer to the stupid question and how the Grinch stole Christmas. The 1966 TV movie, the lyrics for the song Fahu Fores were purposely written to imitate what language? 215-263-WMMR is the number, and I'll go to Joe and see if we can get the answer. Hey, Joe, how you doing, man?
Hey, Gadzooks.
Hey, buddy. Gadzooks to you. So what language was this, was Fahu Fores supposed to be imitating?
Latin.
Latin is correct.
Yeah.
All right.
Latin jazz.
Thanks, Joe. Hang on. We'll get your information, and we will give you a $50 Star Restaurants gift card. Light up their holiday with gift cards from Star Restaurants, redeemable at 37 Star locations. It's a gift that everyone can enjoy. Excuse me.
Yeah. Maybe not fart sound effects during the reading of a sponsorship.
Oh, that's right, yeah. I was punctuating the music, actually.
Yeah. All right, so after last September's car crash, which led Kevin Hart to have emergency back surgery, the star commented on his recovery during an interview on the Ellen DeGeneres Show. When asked about the accident, he said, "I'm about 65 to 75% back to my physical self." Oof. He said, "Workouts are not full. I'm not lifting crazy weights, but I'm back to weighted workouts. I'm a little determined jackass," he says. Hart, who is 40 years old, is out promoting his new film, Jumanji, The Next Level. He shared that he has now a completely different look on life after the accident. However, he has still struggled with recovery, adding, he said, "The biggest triumph is when I put my socks on one day." He said it was the biggest thing in the world. I ran around the house yelling, "I got my socks on. You ain't have to do it. I did it myself." So he's happy that he can put his own socks on. Yeah, I mean, listen, those little things when you're doing your rehab, those are little milestones that you
got. So the closest I came is when I had surgery, but I didn't really lose, you know, any sort of physical skill. And so I could see that where you're frustrated, like, I can't wait to get back to, well, you had a situation where it was difficult to wipe your ass.
Oh, my God.
I mean, just the joy of wiping. Remember that great book, The Joy of Wiping Your Ass?
The Joy of Wiping Your Ass. It was right next to The Joy of Sex.
Yeah. One sold more than the other.
On Wednesday's episode of the Today Show, Hoda Kotb and Craig Melvin announced that fellow host Savannah Guthrie is undergoing eye surgery.
What?
Due to a retinal detachment in her right eye. They said she had some laser treatment, so now she's actually going through the surgery, and she's going to keep us posted. We wish for her speedy recovery.
So they're putting lasers in her eyes?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
No, she's not going to be able to, like, shoot lasers out of her eyes.
Cool. That would be cool, yeah.
An eye-mounted laser.
You're saying the laser, of course, will be used to treat her condition.
Correct, yes. You get it.
Damn, I'm so stupid.
The injury came as a result of an accident involving her two-year-old son, Charlie. Last month, Guthrie shared that he threw a toy train at her and that the pointy edge hit her in the eye.
I wonder what the laser is, though, because once your retina detaches, that's it. You don't get your vision back.
What?
Yeah.
You can get your vision back, can't you?
I don't know.
I thought you could.
She said the injury resulted in a torn retina and that she lost vision in her right eye about a day later. Despite it all, Guthrie hosted a Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and maintains a positive attitude. But yeah, it says a retinal detachment in her right eye.
Maybe if it's just torn, they can repair it as opposed to it being completely detached.
Interesting. In a recent interview with Australia Today, Ryan Reynolds reignited the hysterical four-year fictional feud that he has had with fellow X-Men superhero Hugh Jackman. When asked about the ongoing rivalry, Reynolds responded, "Well, he's just an evil person. I mean, you guys have all been duped." That's what he said. He's quite possibly the nicest man in the world.
Oh yeah,
Hugh Jackman is.
And the if you follow them both on Instagram, they're always hanging out together.
Yeah,
Jake Gyllenhaal has joined the collective too. By the way, Bruce.
The rivalry is, of course, a joke, but it is one that both Reynolds and Jackman have a lot of fun with. Just yesterday, the two trolled each other on Instagram, sharing photoshopped images of their heads on one another's body while promoting their products, Aviation Gym and Laughing Man Coffee. So they still love going at it. After multiple ankle monitor system violations, a judge raised the bail of Harvey Weinstein from $1 to $5 million.
Uh-huh.
The defense claimed the missing lapses in ankle monitoring were due to technical issues, but the prosecution argued that Weinstein was panicking and he was intentionally trying to evade detection.
I tripped some barbecue sauce on it.
The violation totals 57 in less than 2 months.
I was eating barbecue ribs and it dripped on it.
It dripped on your ankle monitor?
My ankle monitor.
Shorted it out?
Yeah.
Probably?
Okay. Fart.
Usually ends up with you having a fart.
Yeah. Both he and Roger Ailes were in an exclusive cigar club where they smoked stogies and farted all.
What are you doing today, Roger?
Special charcoal filtered seats and everything.
Right. Smoke a cigar and fart.
Okay. Yeah. Weinstein was using a walker.
Going down to the fart club.
Hey, rule number one.
Don't talk about fart club.
Don't talk about fart club.
What's rule number two?
Don't talk about fart club.
And rule number three?
Don't fart outside of fart club.
Okay. And rule number four is pleasure yourself in front of your employees.
That rule.
That's a terrible rule.
Get rid of that rule.
Awful.
That's where he caught all the... See, had he stuck to the first three rules, he would have been fine.
They should cross that rule out, though.
Rule number four is pleasure yourself in front of your coworkers.
No,
it is.
Yeah, pleasure yourself.
Pleasure yourself in front of your coworkers. I just got to be straight on the rules. Weinstein was using a walker when he arrived at court.
Yeah, Walker told him he had AIDS.
He was lying, but he just told him that.
Yeah,
oh my God. He was using a walker when he arrived at court, which is needed after he sustained injuries in a car accident last August.
By the way, on this note, I saw a commercial yesterday for a walker that I think is a revolution in walkers.
Really?
Yeah.
One that stands all the way up?
It's like all the way up and almost, you ever do like leg raises on a, you know, where you put your hands on the pad and hold onto the bar? The grips? That's what it is.
Yeah, I've seen
that. So you're up all the way high.
Oh.
Why did it take so long to all the other ones promote this hunched over thing?
Yeah, because I think they want to promote, what is that called?
Scoliosis?
Scoliosis.
Yeah.
I almost said spenacopita. Which is a delicious
dish. I hate
to
tell you.
What is it?
You have spenacopita.
What?
Spumoni?
Like spenacopita is like a rice and...
It's a Greek dessert.
Olive leaf.
Those are. Yeah, they're really good.
Also,
it's here in the studio. It's the ad for Upwalker. That's the one I was talking about. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, but why also, Steve? Why don't they just give you the walker that has like tennis ball type stuff on them instead of
you don't need it now with the Upwalker?
Yeah,
no.
Have you guys?
And it'll tell you have AIDS too.
Exactly. Yeah.
The Upwalker told me I have AIDS.
You have AIDS. What? What did you say? What?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I don't know why you need to supply the
tennis balls.
The tennis balls.
Have you guys ever? Because like the kids in school, like they have tennis balls on their desk chairs and stuff like that.
Right.
And we have to supply them with tennis balls, and you have to like pre-cut them. Have you ever cut?
It's got to be hard.
I use a box cutter.
Yeah, I mean.
It's got to be. There's a good chance for slicing your hand wide open if you're doing that, I would imagine. But I have bought, we have hardwood floors in my dining area, and we have wooden chairs with, you know, wooden bottoms on them. So, but you can buy kind of pre-cut ones that are smaller than your regular size tennis ball, and they're brown, so they kind of match the color.
And they stop that scratching into the wood.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you can just replace all your dining room chairs with Upwalkers.
Or they also have little socks you can put on those. Is that what you have, Kath?
No, we just have like the little felt underneath, like the circles or the squares.
I used to do that myself. I used to put those on there, but they have little socks that you can buy.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome.
Years ago, I had just moved into my house, and Dennis's grandmother was still alive, and she came over, and she was in a walker. And
Walker told me I have AIDS.
The rubber pieces had fallen off, and she walked from the front door. My whole house is hardwood floor. From the front door,
oh my God,
into the kitchen to say hi to everybody, and then into the living room to sit down, and it was just like this big, long streak throughout the entire house.
A
scratch.
Oh,
the whole way.
Man.
And I remember Dennis was looking at it as she was walking, and he was like, oh my God.
Stop. So if you take one thing away from today, invest in an Upwalker.
Yeah, I think so. Here are the little socks. We found a picture of them. So you can get
those. Oh, they're cute.
And you can get, you know, colors that match if you want.
You get little kitty ones.
So, yeah. Yeah, they're pretty cool.
That kind of looks very grandma-ish, though.
Well, like I said, you can get ones that aren't quite like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the Upwalker costs $650.
I was also wrong on what spanakopita is. Nick, can you...
This is about Harvey Weinstein,
right? Let's backtrack.
Right? Yeah. So it's a spinach pie, apparently, in phyllo dough.
Dr. Vasiliki, what do I have? Okay. I have a terrible case of spanakopita.
Okay, I know what those are. Okay. All right. Anyway, Weinstein was using a walker when he arrived at court.
Oh, yeah.
Which is needed because he sustained injuries in a car accident last August, as I said. He's scheduled for back surgery today, actually, but his attorney said that there would be no need to push back his trial scheduled to take place January 6th, by the way.
I saw a story yesterday, Preston, suggesting that he has a fund together of $47 million to pay off all these civil cases against him. Won't take care of the criminal cases. But his lawyers, his legal team is reaching out, and they're being accepted, a lot of them, $47 million to pay off all the civil cases against him.
Wow. Dwayne Johnson didn't get the reaction he was expecting when he told his daughter that he was the voice of Maui in Moana. He said, you know, the daddy's the voice, and I'm going to show you. And then Maui starts singing, and then I start singing, he said. And within 10 seconds, she tries to put a pillow over my mouth and says, "You're ruining the song."
That's really funny.
Uh-huh.
That would I could see where you wouldn't want your parents to be.
Totally.
This character.
This is my thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You believe and kind of believe in that character.
Right.
And you buy it, and then you find out your dad was.
You're killing
it. Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of, did you see the. It's a clickbait thing, but I saw a couple of pictures from it. I don't know if this has been around for a long time, and maybe it has, but an artist has done renderings of the Disney princesses as real people.
No, I have not seen that.
And it's really kind of wild looking. It's pretty cool.
Huh. Meaning. What they would look like if they were actually human,
more human,
or taking those actual like gigantic
eyeball. What they would look like as humans.
Okay, all right. Now that I'm okay with. When the Simpsons, they literally say this is what this character would look like if it had human skin.
Yeah.
I don't like those.
No, it's
kind of ruins
chilling.
It.
Yeah.
Let's see. How about I have just bits and pieces of stuff here. According to Us Weekly, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie's three youngest children, Shiloh and Vivienne, plan on spending. That's only two. Oh no, Knox is in there too. Shiloh, Knox, and Vivienne plan on spending Christmas Eve with Brad Pitt, who is hoping that they will stay the night. However, the three other children will not be spending the holiday with their dad, as they reportedly have a more tumultuous relationship with him. So Maddox and Pax are not on speaking terms with him, and Zahara's relationship with him is still unclear at this point.
Who's the one that he got into the fight with, was it?
I thought it was Maddox.
I thought it was Maddox, yeah. Because Maddox is the oldest.
All right.
The most defiant, probably.
Yep, so we'll see. I thought this was kind of sweet. When Olivia John's iconic black leather jacket from the movie Grease sold for $243,000 last month at a charity auction, the Grammy-winning singer and actress probably thought it was gone for good, but the buyer, who described himself as her number one fan, had other ideas. And he said in a video, and he's remained anonymous, this jacket belongs to you and the collective soul of those who love you, those for whom you are the soundtrack of their lives. It should not sit in a billionaire's closet for country club bragging rights. And he was in L.A. over the weekend, and he gave it to her. He said, "For this reason, I humbly and respectfully return it to its rightful owner, which is you."
Therefore, I'm presenting it to Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah.
No, that is awesome. That's really cool.
So in the video, she seemed shocked when she realized what was in the bright pink gift-wrapped box. She said, "Are you serious?" And she gave the man a huge hug and said, "That is the sweetest thing." The buyer wanted to remain anonymous, so his face is blurred in the video. The auction house said that he is a doctor and medical technology entrepreneur. The jacket and skin-tight pants sold separately in the November 2nd auction for more than double their estimate and raised $405,000 for the Olivia Newton-John Cancer Research and Wellness Center in Australia. The Spanx founder, Sarah Blakely, bought the pants, which Olivia Newton-John
said... She keeping them?
That she had to be sewn into, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, she's keeping them as far as I know.
All right.
She said, she wore that outfit for "You're the One That I Want" alongside John Travolta. The actress and singer screamed with excitement when she finally got to open the box and ruffled through tissue paper to get the jacket. She seemed thrilled when the buyer asked if she would put it on display in her cancer center, and she said, yes, it has always been my dream to do that, so yes. She decided to auction off more than 500 items from her career, including costumes, awards, jewelry, and other memorabilia to raise funds for her cancer center after she was diagnosed with breast cancer for the third time since 1992. By the way, her pink ladies jacket sold for $50,000, which was 25 times the estimated price.
That's freaking wild.
And a grease poster signed by the cast sold for $64,000. The sale raised a total of $2.4 million. So,
for the longest time, the most what was identified as the most coveted piece of movie memorabilia, the red shoes from Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I don't know if that's still the case.
I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah, they're certainly iconic. But Danny's T-Bird jacket would be pretty damn cool, man. So there's some good stuff out there.
Oh, you got some stuff over there.
How about, the SAG Award nomination.
This is especially good news to us.
Yes, we're released. We are members of the Screen Actors Guild, also known as SAG. And when these awards are, the nominations are announced, they send us all the movies. So we're getting really excited. We either get digital downloads or actual DVDs or Blu-rays.
I bet you when the actors and all the legitimate SAG people heard the radio is now being absorbed into SAG.
Yeah,
they must have been like, the f*** is that?
Yep.
I don't know. We'll appease them by sending them DVDs or whatever.
Sure.
So here's a few of the things we'll be getting in the mail.
All right.
Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yay!
Martin Scorsese's The Irishman, which is Netflix. You can watch it.
Yeah.
And Jay Roach's Bombshell leading the pack in film nominations. As far as TV, Apple TV's The Morning Show received several nominations, as did Amazon's The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Other notable nominations include Lupita Nyong'o for Us, Nicole Kidman in Bombshell, and Taron Egerton in Rocketman.
Wait, what was Us?
It's a
horror movie.
Yeah, it's a scary movie.
Follow-up to Get Out.
Where there's like basically your evil doppelganger family.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet, so.
Get it. Like, I enjoyed it. It was suspenseful, but I had to talk to Nick Murphy. I'm like, can you actually explain the movie to me?
It's good. It's not as good as Get Out.
Yeah, Get Out was pretty damn amazing, so. A couple more things here. In a recent interview, Friends co-creator David Crane revealed that the ending storyline for Phoebe, Lisa Kudrow's character, was almost quite different.
What was supposed to happen?
When choosing between either Mike or David, who was Paul Rudd or Hank Azaria, Crane said, "We didn't definitely know who she'd end up with." And then that's all I have in the story.
Wow, that's incredible.
That is it?
I actually sent an email.
You!
I actually sent an email to the people that run this prep service, and I'm like, you're leaving me hanging here.
Yeah. So, yeah.
There's like five of them that are that way. It just stops, and it's like, and so?
That's like the teaser for the article.
Our in-studio guest later this morning was once a boyfriend of Phoebe on Friends.
That's right.
Gary, Michael Rapaport played Gary, and he was a cop, and the way that their relationship ended was one of the best ending of a relationship I've ever seen.
Really?
How did it end?
He shoots the bird outside the window. They're lying in bed together, and Phoebe's a huge animal rights advocate, and they're just lying in bed, and there's this really loud bird outside the window, and Michael Rapaport just picks up his gun because he's playing a cop and just shoots the thing, and Phoebe's like, all right, well, this is over.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it was great.
Was he on the story arc for a while?
Yeah, he had a couple episodes.
No, it's like five or six, I think. Yeah.
All right, cool. Comedy Central's talk show Good Talk with Anthony Jeselnik has been renewed for another 8-episode season. The show features tongue-in-cheek interviews of big-name comedians focusing on their work, influences, and stand-up routines.
I've seen it a couple of times. It's funny. I think he's funny. They're always sort of looking for the right property for him, though, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get a handle on him.
Hey, Home Alone is about to get a small-screen reboot with Jojo Rabbit star Archie Yates taking over for Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, okay.
And
you guys seen the Stallone Alone?
I love it. I retweeted it out the other day. I said Preston's might be the greatest thing man's ever created.
I've never seen. I don't know what it is.
All right, it's a picture of Macaulay Culkin with Sylvester Stallone's face sitting up on the steps in the house, and it says Stallone Alone. If you can find that meme, Nick.
Did you put it on your Twitter?
Yeah. I retweeted it out.
Okay. Yeah, I will have to see. Oh,
oh my God.
That's hilarious.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's Home Stallone, sorry.
Home Stallone.
Home yeah. Stallone, that's it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's
terrific.
That is
that's
scary.
That's worth seeing this morning.
Yeah.
Why is that so intriguing?
Because it sort of works.
It does sort of. It almost bizarre. Looks real. They've youngified his face up a little bit. And
I love you. I love your line, Steve. This is possibly the greatest thing ever created by mankind.
You can't argue that.
No.
Stevie, kind of reminds me of, you remember Martin Short, Clifford?
Oh, Clifford.
Looks a little bit like that, like a man-child of some type. Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that with us today.
No problem.
That one is, I think that's better than Zoe Dave Chappelle. Have you guys seen that one?
No.
No.
All right.
Take that one.
Zoe
Dave Chappelle. Okay. Yeah, so it's Zoe Deschanel and Dave Chappelle at the same time.
Okay, all right.
Yes.
A la this picture we just looked at. Okay, so they've morphed the two together.
Oh, my God.
Photoshopped. Oh, my God. That's horrible.
That's disgusting.
That's kind of like there was several years ago, and they would take Steve Buscemi's eyes and put them on different celebrities, especially on women. It was
Zoe Dave Chappelle looks like him playing Rick James.
Yeah, because of the hair.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
It's got her eyes and his face and...
I think...
okay.
Home Stallone or whatever.
I love that, man.
Number one.
Stallone. Okay. So anyway, they're thinking about rebooting Home Alone, or actually they are, and some other stars have signed on, including Ellie Kemper and Rob Delaney.
I like both of them. I don't know. So is it a...
So here's the deal. It says the character of Kevin McAllister will be retired, but there will be a brand new youngster who finds himself in a similar predicament.
They made a third one. You remember that? And it was not Kevin.
Yeah.
It was a little girl, right? Or it was not the family.
Scarlett Johansson was in that one.
Yes, in the third
she
one.
She was.
Yeah.
It was Tracy Lords.
No, I saw parts of it, and I just thought it was ridiculous.
Okay. Yeah.
And I didn't like seeing Scarlett Johansson's a mean, you know, bully of an older sister. And she was really young when that came out as well.
But the second Home Alone was not good. It was lightning in a bottle. It was fun. It played on every sort of, you could approach it from two things. It was a Looney Tunes cartoon in one aspect, but a kid by himself having the run of the house and then having to defend the house.
Yeah.
You know, that's a scenario all kids run through in their mind at some point.
I liked the interactions with the old man. When they finally sat down at church together, I thought that was pretty sweet.
Yes.
It was nice.
Has a heart.
And of course it gave us, and now I'm seeing You Filthy Animal all over the place too. That finally caught on a couple of years ago. So anyhow, we will, I don't know when this is going to come out, and I believe it is through, it's in the headline. It's not actually in the story. Confirmed by Disney Plus. So it sounds like it's going to end up over there on the small screen. So this is interesting. My son Carter told me about this yesterday, and I kind of did a double take. I'm like, why? But I guess they're doing it. The stars of the All in the Family live reboot will join together again for a holiday encore. They're going to do it again live. Some of the same people. So Woody Harrelson, Marissa Tomei, Ellie Kemper, Ike Barinholtz. They're going to, I don't know if they're, I guess they're going to do a different episode.
They're doing a different episode.
Okay.
And
right.
I wonder how many times they're going to do this.
Yeah.
These are Norman Lear shows. So they could stay within Norman Lear's realm and still do other things. But
sure.
I don't know. I mean, I saw... it was more to me, it was on an entertainment level, it was, hey, look at Woody Harrelson pretending he's Archie Bunker.
Yeah. I got something out of it, but I don't think it's something I need to see more than once, to be honest. But, you know, I like most of those people, so I might check that out.
What about Marissa Tomei as Edith?
It's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, does she try and do the voice and all
that?
Yeah. Marissa Tomei...
Again,
she's too attractive.
Yeah,
for what we knew Edith as is kind of this.
And
really
what a bangy, you dingbang,
kind of dumpy, homely gal. But anyhow, they are going to do it, and I'm not sure when that's coming out. But they're gonna try that again. And then one last thing. HBO has released the official slotted air date for the 10th season premiere of Curb Your Enthusiasm. It will be January 19th, 10:30 p.m. The return is a long time coming. The last season was airing in 2017.
The funny thing is that they sort of had an official cancellation or official end of the show. Not a cancellation, but they, okay, it's over now. And then it came back.
Yeah.
It's come back again.
It's just kind of when Larry feels like doing it. You know, because all the other cast members will do it whenever he wants to. It's just whether or not he wants to.
Yep. All right. We're ready for clips. So let's get to them. So six talented agents go off the grid to change the future in Six Underground. Melanie Lawrence talks about what she learned from the film's director, Michael Bay, in this clip. Here we go.
What I really learned from him is to let go. The ego, it cannot happen on a set like this. Like, you cannot starting to be like, I don't want to do this. Can I have that? You don't even ask for, like, you don't ask for anything. You're just there.
I don't think I want to see it. So
Nick pulled up her IMDb. She played Shoshana in Inglourious Bastards.
Shoshana!
And she was also in Now You See Me. I do like her.
Yeah.
But it sounds like she was eating the microphone in that particular clip. And it said six talented agents. When I think of agents, you
entertainment
know,
agents.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. They went all underground.
Right. We're going to get this mole a wonderful three-picture deal.
Six Underground is available tomorrow on Netflix. Here's the next clip. Let's see here. In Jumanji, The Next Level, there are new obstacles and dangers that the players must overcome. In this clip, Dwayne The Rock Johnson explains what separates this Jumanji movie from the others.
We got really creative where I'm playing Danny DeVito, Kevin's playing Danny Glover, we introduce Awkwafina as a new character, we have a horse as a new character. Just go with it. Trust me when you see the movie. And a couple of surprises in there, too, for audiences.
Anyway, Jumanji The Next Level will be in theaters nationwide.
So they're all switched up now, right? They're no longer the characters they were in the first movie.
From what I understand.
Okay.
Yeah, so there might be, one of them may have stayed the same. I'm not 100% sure, Steve. But yeah, they've switched things around a little bit. But I really loved that first movie. It was very well done.
The second time I watched it, yeah. I liked it a lot more. And now I really do enjoy it.
Yeah. All right, and there you go, your entertainment report this morning. Michael Rappaport stopping by today.
Yeah.
We have a bit of a party that we're going to have next Thursday at Parks Casino. How would you like to join us for that?
Ooh.
You need to know about the program. You need to know about the Preston and Steve Show in order to have a shot at winning some of these great prizes. We stack it up, man. We give away things like trips, cash, experiences, electronics, all different kinds of products and stuff like that as a thank you to you. Longtime supporter of the Preston and Steve program. So we ask trivia questions about our show. How well do you know it? And I know it's tough when you're put on the spot, but we do it game show style, and you got it. You got to bring it.
Yes.
So let's see how you do. We're going to take seven callers. First seven callers.
It's a Christmas miracle.
215-263-WMMR. Qualifications are you have to be at least 21 years of age and available to join us bright and early or dark and early, 6 a.m., next Thursday at Parks Casino in Bensalem. So call now and let's get you on board and we will have a good time. Don't forget, it is the Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Edition. So wear your ugly sweater and you might win some prizes that way too. So your guest that comes with you could win that way. So make sure that you dress them up properly. We got a beautiful sunrise as we get started on this Thursday. We'll take a break, come back in just a moment. Lots of stuff to get to today. We'll be right back.
Here we go.
Here comes the MM Army.
What's going on?
Join Marissa Magnata Friday from 4 to 6 at Sprint, 1760 Market Street in Center City. Win a seat at Christmas Miracle on December 19th at Parks Casino at Site Center. Hang with Jackie Bam Bam Saturday from 1 to 3 at Sprint, 1235 Chestnut Street in Center City. Win a seat at Christmas Miracle on December 19th at Parks Casino Excite Center. Join Marissa Magnata Saturday from 5 to 7 at Family and Company Jewelers on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey for men's shopping night and a Preston and Steve Totally Office calendar read.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
last chance to head out and be a part of the Bud Light, the huddle. Oh, God, I didn't
Thursday write it down.
Thursday night huddle. Yeah. Thank you very much.
The last one of the year.
And your chance to win tickets to see the Birds play the Cowboys.
Yeah, tonight.
Tonight, Nick will be at the Marchwood Tavern in Exton from 7 to 9. So make sure you stop out there. By the way, they came in yesterday and brought some food by. Really, really good wings they had. They didn't bread them, and I like them when they're not breaded like that. And they were very, very tasty. But I think I might get my ass kicked around here.
I think you might.
Yeah, I had a moment. I actually yelled at Trey Thomas yesterday.
But you were doing it in a fun way, right?
I was like three quarters joking. Okay?
I don't know, because I heard you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we heard it when the door opened.
So I didn't know it was him, okay? So here's the deal. So Trey Thomas works at our sister station, Fanatic, down the hall. We had in our Xfinity Lounge out here, we had our food set up for Marchwood Tavern. Now, I like to wait until close to the end of the show to eat, because it's more like lunchtime then, and I can go ahead and eat at that point in time.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And it's been happening a lot lately. Well, I'll go out there, and all the food's gone by the time I go to get some food. And I'm like, you know, they brought it here for us to eat, for us to give some stuff away to you. We can actually comment on what the food tastes like and so on.
And we always do have a bit so we can be honest about it. Yeah.
And lately, people have been eating all our food. And so I just saw a figure. From my point of view, I can't see an entire person who's
How do you miss him?
He's more than one person.
He's the largest person in this entire building.
Yes. And so
Who's that girl?
I only saw like half of him. So anyway, and it was like the side half, not top or bottom. But anyway, and so Marissa was in the studio, and I saw people out there eating food. They were like people in line to eat. I'm like, did you put a memo out that people could come in and eat food? She goes, no. And so I open the door, and I do this.
Oh, God.
I go, hey,
like you do to your dog. Yeah. Your dog was eating the trash.
I'm like clapping my hand like this, going, hey, who's eating my goddamn food? And he turns around, it's him, and I'm like, oh, my God.
So sorry.
You're huge. I'm so sorry, Mr. Thomas.
We are going to die.
But he reached
over. No, we're not. He is. I'll be fine.
He reached over and shook my hand. And I was like, and I was half joking. I was doing the clap thing just to be kind of goofy. But also part of me was like, man, don't eat our food, you know? Yeah. And so later on, Bill goes, I put a memo out, by the way. I'm like,
God.
You did what?
Oh, God. So then a memo went.
You don't need to put a memo.
Yeah, I know.
Because by the way, Trey is like, he's so nice.
I know.
He's such a nice guy.
He even sent an email back responding to Bill.
Son of a bitch.
He responded to all saying, he wrote, my bad, Bill. It was me. I'm sorry. And I was like, what?
Oh, now he knows.
I don't want him to think I'm a jerk.
I got a text message from one of the producers over there commenting, I think, you know, and this was all on the heels of Bill's memo. Bill's memo made it worse, and that was the only thing. And
Bill tries to look out for us, and does, and he didn't know the context that Preston had pissed off a walking mountain.
Wait, tell me about the text, please.
No, the text was great. No, they loved it.
Okay, all right, good.
Yeah, the text.
What a D that guy is you work with.
No, seriously, what a D. It says, Trey grabbing a huge plate of wings and getting caught by Preston today was effing hilarious.
Oh, good.
Because he did have a gigantic plate filled up with wings.
I go, you didn't eat any? He goes, no, wait, no, it was Trey. He had a massive plate of wings. I had one.
Trey, I'm sorry I yelled at you. So this is my official, I was kind of joking, but, you know. But now, so Bill did put this out that we will offer up that food once we've had a chance to sample. It's just disappointing we go out there and it's all gone and the client went all this trouble to bring it to us. So we now, Marissa will put out an email, hey, come and have at it.
Yeah.
Because we don't want the food to go to waste, obviously.
And absolutely. I said this yesterday. The problem is we used to have an area where the food would get dropped off and everybody would enjoy it. And then when we were finished with it, we would move it to a common area where everyone could eat it. We don't have that area anymore. So people don't know when it's okay to come and get it.
You're exactly right. There was a kitchen table that the stuff would go out to. It's a Dunkin' Cafe and it's awesome, but there's no room for a table in there.
Yeah. I don't know how they managed to find less space.
What my suggestion is, not to get into too, we can use, I have a suggestion.
Yeah.
But that the area also serves as an agreement. Also, Marissa's trying to produce the show in that area. Yeah, so basically, the way that everything's constructed, Marissa's now in a throughway.
She's now planning a party every day.
Yeah.
But you know what we need and what we don't have anymore is the anything goes table.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
it
we had
get
a table.
Moved.
I even told Marissa I had some leftover promotional shirts. I took the one that I wanted, and then I have all these other shirts. I'm like, where do I put these now? Because we had this table. You just put stuff there. First come, first serve.
Whoever people would see stuff, it. Yeah.
Take it. And we don't have that anymore. So we need to find, we need a new, we need an everything goes table.
So we have this coffee machine that that Dunkin' dropped by. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I came in on Monday. There was a 9-foot old sheet cake on top of it because there was no place to put
nowhere
this
to
thing.
Put this stuff. So that's something we'll have to work on with our design crew.
And first world problems, for sure.
I know.
But still.
But we want to share the love around
absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. Like
the,
Subaru.
The stuff. Yeah, exactly like that.
Was it like 29 degrees out? There's guys hanging out on a lift outside of our window.
We give it to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, most definitely.
Our cake had to go on our cappuccino machine.
Yeah, here we are.
Darn it.
Darn it.
That really does sound pathetic.
Darn.
Hey, man, it's serious.
You know that machine that we can get 15 different kinds of coffees on?
Yeah, for free. There's a cake on
it. We had to put a cake on that thing.
The Shriners tend to birth defects. We here at MMR deal with another problem. Where to put our expensive sheet cakes?
We can't put it on the cappuccino machine.
No. Cappuccino machine cannot support the weight of our cake.
We need Sarah McLachlan.
Send $25 and we'll send you this blanket showing our sheet cake.
All right. Anyway, it was interesting, and I think I got to keep an eye out for Trey Thomas.
And you made an enemy yesterday. Yeah, so that was good.
It's funny because on the conversely, he and I are the best of friends. We ride up in the elevator together. He wants to come out to Keenan's next summer. It's all good. I'll look out for you.
Yep.
But I'll put a good word in for you.
Thank you.
You can offer him wings.
But it was so funny. Hey, 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 hey.
Everyone remembers the day they realized Preston was gone.
All right, listen, we are...
I've never seen a man with his head up his own ass.
I mean, Trey is... He played, like... I mean, generally speaking, it's the largest position. An offensive tackle are the largest men on a football field,
mm-hmm.
you know, a field of giants. That's the guy I would want to yell at.
I'm pretty tall.
Yeah.
No, I don't pick up on big as no.
You're huge. Not offensive tackle.
No, I know. No, not offensive tackle.
Playing offensive taco.
All right. Can I move on to something
else? Please, we have things to discuss that are far more important.
We are approaching the end of a decade, not just a year. Usually this time of year, we have lists that come out of things that happened through the year. But now we're approaching the end of a decade, so the lists are even more comprehensive.
Did you sort of feel, Preston, that it was... I had the revelation just like 2 weeks ago. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
It's another decade.
It hadn't dawned on me until recently. By the way, my son texted over. He wanted everybody to know that the last full moon of the decade came last night
at
12:12 a.m. on 12:12.
Did you guys see it?
It was gorgeous.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, big and bright. And on the way in this morning, it was really lit up because it was a clear sky.
They kept it around for us.
Yeah, they did.
Well, when I left for work this morning, I thought my wife had left her headlights on in her car because it was so bright.
That's how bright it was.
So I did see this list. It's from goodhousekeeping.com, and it is things that we totally forgot happened this past decade.
Okay. I'm getting ready to have my mind blown.
There's some fun ones here.
Some
things are more of a serious tone. This one is a fun one.
All right.
And there are some things that are a little bit more on the serious side, but we'll
make light of them.
We'll start with this. April 2010, the very first iPad came out.
Wow.
So that was pretty important.
2010, the very first iPad. I remember there was sort of mixed feelings about that. Some people thought it was just a large iPhone. Mm-hmm. Other people went, was this going to go anywhere? Needless to say, it has.
Some people loved it. I remember it never really spoke to me. I'd much rather have a laptop, but a friend of mine travels for business, and he's like, this is the greatest thing ever. He's like, it's just so much easier to use. It's perfect for what I'm doing.
I've had them ever. You know me. I'm an immediate adopter. And I remember, I forget who we had in here. Maybe it's Hal Sparks. It was just days after it came out. He had it. And I was like, oh, I want on board.
Yep. September 10th, I'm sorry, September of 2010, Lady Gaga wore a dress made of meat.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
To the Video Music Awards.
It seems like 4 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
It was made entirely of raw beef, and she had it while accepting her award for Video of the Year. She was a strange bird back in the day. She was doing all kinds of performance art stuff.
Yep. Was it Joey Carbone? What's the,
Calderon.
Calderon.
But that was a different year.
Yeah.
March 2011, Rebecca's Black Friday was released.
Oh, I love that.
I have it.
And that was kind of a little viral thing for a minute.
A YouTube song without any record company release. It's Friday, Friday. Went huge.
Yeah, my wife and I, well, I think we sing that to each other almost every Friday morning. When I say goodbye to her. Either she'll sing it or I'll sing it.
And what happened to Rebecca Black?
She's a cokehead now.
Okay.
She actually got sort of bullied online after a while.
Well, because it was cheesy.
Yeah.
And that's why it caught on, too, because of its cheesy nature. I didn't really see what the big deal was, but a lot of people thought it was funny. And,
well, it acknowledged a day of the week.
And a day of the week. But her singing career never really took off the way I'm sure she was hoping.
Become a drop for us, though.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. In April of 2011, this is a decade-end list, by the way, gang. Millions tuned in to watch a royal wedding. This was, William and Kate Middleton.
We did. We had a royal wedding viewing party.
That was fun, by the
way. Yeah.
Were we wearing formal attire?
We might have
been. Or at least some of the attendees were wearing formal attire.
I don't remember.
And we had some British listeners in, I think.
And Spotted Dick, I remember.
We had all the accoutrement for that.
We had a reporter who was over there call in.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then in May of 2011, everyone was planking everywhere. Yeah. That was one of those first viral photo trends. There's what you do. Planking, Kathy, was basically where you lay flat somewhere where it would be weird for you to lay flat.
I don't remember face that. Down.
That was that to my memory is probably the first of those.
Yeah,
you know?
where you take a picture of yourself doing this type of thing and post it and tag, planking. Plank. Yeah, you don't remember that at all, Kathy?
I don't remember planking. No,
face down. Like nose down on the ground, face down.
Like
hands
you're
on,
dead.
Hands actually, on, a lot hands of on your side.
What I did at the happy place, doing the like dead that? Body thing. That's sort of like planking.
Kind of like that. Yeah, that. Only you looked like you had been murdered.
<You were dead. laughs>
This is just somebody like they're a piece of wood. So it was.
That looks funny.
It was a thing. Didn't that look funny?
I'm gonna go do
it
again.
Start sending out your planking.
I'm gonna start
pictures
planking.
So you can appear 8 years behind it.
In July of 2011, we said goodbye to Harry Potter. It was the final in the film series, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Part 2.
We didn't really say goodbye. I mean, he's there with us always.
Well, I know, but it was, and
he's got a family. I saw it at the end.
Well, and then they started making the follow-up films
after
that. But, for officially that story arc came to a close.
Yeah, the new series is the Big Book of Who Gives an F.
Let's see. There were a couple other things. Okay, February of 2012, Linsanity took over the world. NBA player Jeremy Lin unexpectedly led his team on a 7-game win streak during that season, and Linsanity was born. March of 2012, Conky 2012.
No, Coney
2012.
Remember this guy?
Went viral. No.
This is the guy who was on the street corners. He was supposedly doing altruistic stuff for Africa, but it turned out he was out of his mind. I'm trying to remember the pieces of it, Nick. Am I basically getting it correct?
I have a description here. Yeah. So the short documentary film released by nonprofit group Invisible Children went unexpectedly viral overnight in March 2012, receiving an unprecedented level of global attention, thousands of retweets from celebrities and politicians. The video, which urged viewers to take action against Ugandan warlord Joseph Kony for his many crimes and human rights abuses, got 100 million hits in just 6 days, but it also received a large amount of backlash and criticism. I don't know why.
Why did it get backlash and criticism?
Because people were... All they were really doing was retweeting.
Is that it?
And not doing anything about it?
Not doing anything about it. So they were sort of taking the moral high ground without actually any action.
What am I thinking of?
Well, there was a guy who really led that charge. He ended up like going crazy.
Like he was alone. Right?
He was like naked.
He was running around in the street.
Yes.
Right?
He was naked. And I didn't know. I mean, I didn't know if he was drugged up or if somebody drugged him or if he had just gone absolutely crazy.
By the way, a quick update on Jeremy Lin. He's now playing for the Beijing Ducks in China. So
a storied career.
Yeah, Linsanity continues in China.
He's a Harvard guy, right?
Was he? Yeah.
Also, let's...
I thought he was a dancer.
No.
No.
Nick, go back one one screen.
No, she was a dancer.
Jinx, oh my God! Stop.
Somebody pointed out that Tebowing was before planking.
Was it really?
Kneeling down to pray?
The kneeling thing?
Yeah.
Now, this I remember. July 2012, Gangnam Style became the most watched video ever.
Well, you remember when you first saw that video?
I do. Yeah.
I busted out laughing.
Nick showed it to me. Something, I don't remember what, we were having a bad day or got some bad news or something like that. And Nick just goes, here, watch this.
Yeah.
And I watched it. I'm like, what in the hell is this? And I laughed my ass off.
I thought it was hilarious.
But it became the most watched video ever.
And who knew I'd be a fan of K-pop years after?
It was the first video to ever reach a billion views on YouTube. How about that? And that happened.
And what's he doing now? He's with Jeremy Lin.
July 2012.
He probably cashed in.
Yeah. December 2012. Remember this? People actually thought that the world would end.
Yes.
It was the Mayan calendar.
Oh, yes.
And there were people that were convinced it was all going to go, whatever was going to happen was going to happen. We were going to blow up or everybody was just going to drop dead or who knows. They just knew it.
And to quote Homer Simpson, if the Mayans were so smart, how come they're dead?
Yeah.
Hey, did we do confessions that time?
I think we did, just in anticipation of it, allowing you to get off your chest, whatever you felt you needed to.
I think a guy called and said he helped somebody bury a body, and the cops were like, hello.
That's right.
Yeah.
In the Pine Barrens.
Yes.
Remember?
He was a kid, and he didn't know exactly what was going on, but that was pretty much, that's what he had thought. And then the police contacted us.
I think he had phrased it, I think I helped the guy bury a body. That's right. I forgot about that.
That was great.
You know how sometimes you're not sure if you've buried a body.
Yeah. If you want to, you know, get a look at prophecy, a humorous look at prophecy, just go on Wikipedia and search times that people thought the world would end.
Oh, yeah.
And you will see an unending list of when supposedly prediction of the end of the earth was going to happen.
The prognosticators have been around forever.
Forever.
And the thing is, they are seldom held accountable.
That's right.
No one ever goes, hey, dude, you said this.
Yep.
And they're just on to making new predictions.
They usually have some sort of an excuse, and they move on to the next one. All right, here's another viral sensation. February 2013 brought us the Harlem Shake.
Oh, my God. That's another one.
We did one. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it was the thing for a little while. And
that was predicated on an actual dance?
I don't even remember.
Or is it our version of Gangnam Style?
It says here, the video usually began with a lone person dancing in a room full of seemingly oblivious onlookers. And then, once the beat drops, cutting into an entire group joining the dance and going nuts in the most ridiculous way possible. But it doesn't explain the origin.
All right. And I think
let's see. In April of 2013, everyone learned the Cup Song from Pitch Perfect.
Now you can do this.
Yeah,
I used to be able to.
I would have to go back and watch.
You've lost it again?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I don't remember the pattern, but I had it down pat. I could do it, no problem.
Do we have the audio of that case?
I think so.
I was looking for cups. It was a 1931 song. That's how old. Yeah, and it just became adapted to the movie.
No, not Harlem Shake.
No,
we moved on to Cups.
Oh, the Cup Song was?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Cup Song was, yeah.
I didn't know that.
It was When I'm Gone. It says here, a version of the 1931 Carter Family song, When I'm Gone, usually performed a cappella, not cappella, with a cup used to provide percussion, as in the cup game. So, why does that sound weird?
It's so slow.
It's from the
movie. It's like you from yesterday.
Yeah.
Company, and I'm leaving tomorrow.
Make it stop.
Yeah, we need to stop.
Here, we got it from the movie if you want that one.
This is when she's doing the audition?
Yeah.
No, I don't want a cup. I can't do it anymore.
I got my ticket for the long way round.
Now that sounds fast.
What is going on here?
I have it in my iTunes. You want it?
We are Legion.
We are Legion. You shall refer to us as Legion.
And now we do the Cup Song.
I gotta take it for another.
No, I can't do it anymore.
Give me a cup.
I'll try to relearn it later on.
All right.
I want to be in your a cappella group.
Let's see. These are things that happened over the decade. Somebody pointed out the decade's not over till next year.
The Fat Lady Sings?
Whatever.
It's the 2020 start next year.
Exactly. Yeah.
Knock it off.
So in March of 2014.
Quit harshing our buzz.
An airplane disappeared.
I remember that.
Malaysia Airlines, yeah. And it's still a mystery as to what happened. Well, it crashed in the ocean, and the
that's
ocean is big and deep. That's what happened.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you can't, but we tend to think with the incredible amount of technology that we have that, you know, that it surely will get it or find it at some point. But
every now and then something reminds you of just how gigantic this world is. Now, in, you know, in relativity, it's small, but to us as human beings, it's a big place, and sometimes you just can't find things that are missing.
Yeah, we tried to dig a hole to China one time.
Oh, man. How long did you work on that?
An entire week, at least, maybe 2 weeks.
Did they welcome you warmly when you arrived?
We didn't make it past, like, 10 feet.
Welcome.
Yeah.
There was a
come from a Delco?
There was a follow-up search last year in January of 2018 that also ended without success after 6 months. I mean, they tried again, and they tried several times, and
it
never
got
found
so crazy that CNN, I remember there was a clip of them hypothesizing that it was a wormhole.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was it?
No, in July to August of 2014, everyone started doing the ice bucket challenge.
Yeah,
I did. We all did that, right?
Yeah. And that, dude, that water's cold. I hated it. I mean, I had fun doing it, but when it hit me, I was like, no.
The gentleman who sparked the whole thing passed the other day, away.
Yeah. He, in fact, I've got that information right here who he was. He was part of it. He wasn't the one who kicked the whole thing off, but he's the one that, that apparently got it taken to another level. He was a former baseball player. And
Pete Freites is his name.
Yeah, there you go.
I think my favorite ice bucket challenge occurred right in our own parking lot. It was Brittany Taylor, right?
Oh.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, remember she did that?
Oh, yeah, I did that with her, yeah.
The ice bucket challenge began in 2014 when pro golfer Chris Kennedy challenged his wife's cousin, Jeanette Sinertia, whose husband had ALS. And then ALS patient Pat Quinn of Yonkers, New York, picked up on it and started its spread. But when Pete Freites and his family got involved, that's when it exploded on social media.
It had such a wide-reaching response that they... in the video right now is playing in the studio. It's Brittany in the parking lot who did it. I would say this. That caused an onslaught after of people trying to catch that heat.
I remember being in a promotions meeting, and one of the salespeople was like, hey, can we do something to replicate the ice bucket challenge? And I was like, no.
No.
No, we can try.
Can we recreate the success of the polio vaccination?
Right, exactly. Hey, this is for a great cause, and we don't need to be ripping that off. You know what I mean? And let's keep the focus on trying to save these people's lives with that. And sure, hey, we can try to come up with something viral. Let's do something viral.
Right.
It's so easy to say that, right? Let's do this that's viral. It'll just take off.
Let's do something like the Gangnam Style thing.
Right, exactly. So that happened in 2014. Then we move on to 2015. In February, the internet had a heated debate over a dress.
Oh, that's right.
God almighty.
The blue or...
No, it was gold. White and gold.
White and gold?
It wasn't blue and black. It was white and gold.
No, it was white and blue.
And therein lies the battle.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
What it was.
Yeah, Kathy, it was between those two shades. So,
And then we had in short order, we had three things, like two or three things right after that.
A couple other things. Yeah, I always saw it blue and black or whatever it was, but I didn't see the gold. So anyhow, but that was a big deal. That really took off.
Then there was Laurel and Yanni. You remember that one?
Yeah, the great comedy team.
Laurel and Yanni.
Yeah. When you hear the audio.
What do you hear? Do you hear Laurel or do you hear Yanni? You don't remember
for
that?
For what?
Vaguely.
Oh, man.
It was a piece of audio.
Yeah.
Laurel or Yanni?
Yeah. We have it, I'm sure.
All right. While you're looking for that same
month. Let's go inside, Laurel.
These are moments that we forgot about that took place during the decade. February 2015, Apple released racially diverse emojis. They started adding skin tone to the emojis. So that was one of the things you may have forgotten about. In February 2016, Leonardo DiCaprio finally won an Oscar. It was for The Revenant.
Yeah. Wow. So.
Revenant. Yeah.
Did I say it wrong?
No.
You said Revenant.
I said Revenant.
Okay.
All right. Not Revenant.
I heard Laurel. I heard Yanni. That's weird.
I thought I said Revenant.
Well, we can play it back.
We can play it back.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
Let's just go past
this
part.
I like it.
So that was February 2016. May of that year, 2016, Harambe became an internet phenomenon.
What a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what, the kid fell in the gorilla enclosure and they threw a grenade at the gorilla?
Yeah, exactly. And he picked it up and ate before it exploded.
He'll eat it and then he'll blow up and the kid will be safe.
But
come
again,
on, eat it the hand grenade.
Yeah. Again, the only video.
Put the hand grenade in the banana and throw it in there.
Yeah.
Poor Harambe. People were freaking out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because you only remember the gorilla kind of like hovering over the child, looking like that it was protecting him. And then you end up seeing the footage of him, you know, dragging the kid through the pond and stuff like that. You're like, okay, all right, well, maybe this thing isn't as nurturing and caring.
The gorilla's like, what the F? Yeah. I mean, you got me living in this dump anyway.
Yeah.
Keep your kids out of it.
Yeah, exactly. They shoot him? Is that what happened?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With a machine gun, which I thought was a little bit overkill. And there were families actually gathered around. All right, everybody, watch.
July of 2016, the world went crazy over Pokemon Go. That's when that hit.
That's still going on, believe it or not.
It is. But it was funny because you could spot them all over the place. People that were playing at the time, driving in your car, and you could see them holding the phone up, moving around in areas that it didn't make sense for them to be in. You're like, they're playing Pokemon Go.
I told you I was on Germantown Avenue and I saw our listener Mel walking around with her phone out. Pokemon Go? Yes. Yeah. She still plays it.
Yep. In October of 2016, the Vine app shut down.
That was that long ago.
Yeah.
Vine was a big thing. Actually, Vine, I just recently joined TikTok, and TikTok is what I thought. TikTok was going to be like Vine. It's a little bit different, but that was kind of a revolution.
Yeah, so before TikTok, it was Vine, and Vine had 6-second videos.
TikTok's not just for kids? I thought that was a kid
thing. Oh, my
God,
no. No. So here's my experience on TikTok so far. It's a lot of sort of attractive high school and college girls dancing to snippets of hip-hop songs and muscle dudes doing curls.
Wait, well, you must be able to put an age limit on it or something. Because I have it for Jason. It's all little kid stuff.
I'm just looking at the regular feed that just comes through.
It's so, both. Yeah. I mean, you can tailor it for kids, for sure.
So is that what it is? Is there an age limit?
Well, it started off as Musical.ly, which was often used by kids. And so I don't know if you have an age restriction, but if you know, it's like when you watch a bunch of YouTube videos, it'll suggest other YouTube videos for you to watch if you're in one TikTok vein.
So maybe we're in the kid. Okay.
Exactly. So he's a kid, so he probably just wants to follow other kids.
Yeah. That's the way my daughter is. So she's been on that for a little while. Apparently, I did say reverent. So, sorry, Casey.
It's okay.
A lot of texts are coming in.
That's all right.
I thought I said revenant.
You're kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't. You're like, all right, do I say anything or do I not say anything? Because people are going to hear, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes we let mistakes slide and sometimes we don't.
No, I was pretty confident that I said revenant, so that's why I said, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. January 2017, millions attended the Women's March. And apparently it was the largest single-day demonstration in U.S. history.
It was a blast.
Yeah, I'm sure. It was right after Trump's presidency. Millions of people took to the streets of Washington and other cities to protest. And that was the largest demonstration in U.S. history. The Washington March alone had 500,000 people in attendance, but there were over 5 million people in over 600 marches. May to June 2017, everybody was playing with fidget spinners.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Freaking fidget spinners. Well, we used to have like 5 or 6 in the studio.
Yeah, and they were expensive at first, man. Like, you know, I mean, there were only a couple of places you could get them in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
no, they just give away as jobs.
Yeah, Learning Express and stuff.
Well, so my son had wanted this thing. We had never heard of it before, and so we told my mother, okay, this is something you can get him for Christmas. And she gets back, and this was well before it took off. This was like 6 months before it took off. And she goes, we ordered this thing. We had to order it from China or Japan or something. I don't know. I forgot where she told me. And they got it in the mail, and you're like, are you sure he wants this? It's like, it's really small. There's nothing to it. And he actually wants it. We were like, yeah, this is what he wants. He got it immediately. I'm like, what is that?
Well, then they had
then several months later, everybody had
everyone them. Had them, and
then they started taking them away in school.
Oh, yeah. Yes, right. They were taking them because they were so distracted. The ones, the last iteration I remember would light up when you spun them.
Yeah, they had all kinds of versions of them eventually.
We have a graphic here in the studio, and it looks like subtitles underneath. And I got to say that I feel the same way as the subtitle. It was supposed to be like for like stress.
Yeah.
I felt more stress spinning that thing than I did not before. You know, I don't know what it was about it, but
it actually agitated you.
Yeah, because I thought it was harder to spin it with one hand. And that was the kind of like the idea is like, oh, you hold it in between your finger and thumb.
You felt inferior.
Yeah. I felt the opposite. I felt kind of soothed and it was sort of like mindless and it would take my mind off of any distractions.
What I did like is the gyroscopic effect of it. So if it was spinning and you started to move it, you would feel the resistance of the,
For sure.
Yeah. I'm a simple-minded man.
That little like activity square that we used to have. Uh-huh. Somebody cleaned the studio and got rid of all the stuff, so I don't know where it is. But I liked that. That was kind of stress relieving. Let's see.
Do we still have our dildos?
Yes. Oh, wait, the fidget box?
Yeah, the little box,
Yeah, you just kind of click it and flip the switches and stuff like that, Mm-hmm. All right, a few more things. It's already 7:50, so we got to move along. August 2017, we had a total solar eclipse. October 2017, that's when the Me Too movement took off. It seems like it was longer ago.
So the flashpoint for that, Ronan Farrow, right?
Yeah, Harvey Weinstein, Ronan Farrow, all these things hit. Yeah.
What did you say the date was?
It was October 2017.
We were at the camp out when we got the news that Matt Lauer, main anchor of the Today Show, was fired.
Who was the first main celebrity to make it as popular as it became, like on Twitter or whatever?
I think it would be Harvey Weinstein.
No,
the woman, because somebody tweeted out.
Was it Rose McGowan?
Rose McGowan or
Alyssa
the
Milano?
Alyssa Milano, who I was thinking of. One of those two. They were both instrumental in getting that movement.
Right.
All right, anyhow, a couple more things. These are things that we totally forgot that happened.
It's a busy-ass decade.
January 2018, there was a false missile warning in Hawaii.
Oh my God.
That's right.
That was terrifying.
I think do we have the audio of that? Maybe. We might.
I don't know, but it was, they thought there was an incoming ballistic missile threat.
People, needless to say, because this is the time we're having little dust-ups with North Korea.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've got this this part of our nation way out there in the Pacific that could easily be a target. And it's it's a military institution as well there with several
whole
different
bunch
bases.
Of stuff. Yeah, it was,
so
you know,
I could see why they would have taken that very seriously. May 2018, there was another royal wedding. This time was Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. And in October of 2018, a Banksy painting self-destructed.
That was pretty awesome.
That was pretty wild.
The frame was a paper shredder, basically.
Yeah. And then we're up to this year, and there's only a couple of things on this year of things you may have forgotten about. Most diverse class of lawmakers in history was sworn into Congress. And in April, we got the first ever photo of an actual black hole. So these are kind of offbeat or things that you may just have not remembered that took place in the last 10 years.
So Marissa actually put together this awesome decade of WMMR challenges. It's going to go up on the website, but it's basically all the things that we have done in the last decade, including the ice bucket challenge. Remember the mannequin where you would stay still and the camera would kind of just weave through the room?
Freaking thing.
Cold My water challenge, Harlem Shake.
I almost always hate every one of these things. But
I do too.
But we did
them because we're whores.
So it's a huge list, and she's going to post it on the website, but it's pretty cool.
I love that.
Well, people are texting, and it was Rose McGowan, Steve, that kind of got the ball rolling. And somebody said, when did Julie Jerkoff happen?
Julie Jerkoff was last year.
It was a couple of years ago.
Now, we have that on you, don't we?
A couple of years ago, yeah.
Julie Jerkoff.
I'm sorry.
All right. And that is just one of the lists that I have for you. We're going to have many more as we approach the end of our broadcast year. By the way, next week we'll do the Christmas Miracle, and then we have a broadcast from here back in the studio, and then we're done for the end of the year.
So how about that? We got to get this stuff in now.
I know. We absolutely do.
I mean, because the world's going to end.
All right. And
Julie Jerkoff. Forgive me, Kirkoff.
All right.
Forgive me.
That was a wonderful moment. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. I got... Case, can I...
What's that? Is it a Halloween special?
I don't know.
Look at his face.
Maybe it was Christmas.
Once again, this happened earlier. I hit a button and then I pushed the fader up slowly, and music is supposed to arrive, and that was a Springfield Mitsubishi commercial.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have to run everything on a hotkey now because what I didn't do earlier was take this out of Live Assist, and everything ran. So,
that's for me. All right, so we're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. So you're going to hit the little button, do hickeys?
Yeah, do the hickeys.
All right, we'll come back with the B-file. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Here's your shot, podcasters. We know that you know the show better than anyone. So if you would like to win a pair of tickets to the Christmas Miracle broadcast, email your name, age, and phone number to podcast@WMMR.com. We'll be contacting the winners early next week, so don't delay. And really, thank you so much for listening. We love you guys.
I would like to invite you to join us next Thursday if you're a diehard Preston and Steve fan and you think you know a thing or two about this particular radio program, because we have a little thing called the Christmas Miracle Live broadcast. And it is for longtime fans of the show who have been with us and have think that they are aficionados, because it is a trivia-based contest about our program. We want to reward you for being such a great listener, and we do appreciate you being on board for as long as you have been. So, if you're at least 21 years of age, and you can join us next Thursday morning, 1 week from today, starting at 6 a.m. at Parks Casino in Bensalem. We'll take six callers, starting with caller number 14. So 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. Those are the callers we're going to take, and we will put you in the audience. You can bring a friend. They have to be at least 21 years of age, as do you. And they will not go in the drawing to be in the contest, but that doesn't mean that they can't win stuff. It's a Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Edition, so wear any ugly sweater, and Miller Lite's got prizes that we can give away. We have various other things that we're going to give out to the audience.
There's a ton of stuff. So not even if you can play the game if you're selected, but everyone in the audience is going to have more than enough opportunity to win prizes.
Yep. We'll be broadcasting all morning long from Site Center. It is hard. and there will be pre-parties and specials and seats to the event that you can win at each one of these Miller Lite Ugly Sweater pre-parties. So check the website for details, WMMR.com. All right, we're going to do the Bizarre File. Here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Robbins Diamonds and Tax-Free Delaware, with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds, a Subway worker, meaning the restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Robbed her own store and said that it was to teach a fellow employee a lesson.
Well, that's cool.
Police said employees told them that a man and woman robbed the store but fled before officers arrived. Investigators learned two employees were inside the store and a customer was at the drive-through window when power to the business shut off. And that's when a masked woman entered the store, jumped on the counter, and verbally and physically threatened two employees. The woman also ordered one of the employees to get rid of the customer at the drive-through window. While the suspects took both employees to the back of the store, a customer escaped by running to her vehicle. And one of the employees said they recognized the voice of Lorena Marin, a co-worker.
No, it's not me.
While investigating the robbery...
I swear to God, Lou, you're so... mister, you're so stupid.
An officer was flagged down by someone who saw a white Kia Optima parked across suspiciously in the area. Officers located and stopped it, and they found Marin and Angelo Ray Espinoza in the car. Marin allegedly told police she was involved in the robbery and indicated that she wanted to teach one of the employees a lesson about what could happen late at night in that part of town.
Now, is this in the Subway handbook on how to train your employees? Stage a robbery.
Yeah. And I don't even think she was a manager or anything. She was just a coworker.
Well, listen, she wants to be manager. She thought she might get a promotion if she staged a robbery.
It's management material. Yeah. They're both being held without bond.
Oh, they didn't believe the story?
No, they didn't buy it, believe it or not. Well, you may think you know someone with truly deadly farts, but has that gas ever killed insects? 48-year-old.
I'm wondering, yeah. Case, what do you think?
I've probably killed a few bugs.
48-year-old Joe Robmaria from Uganda says a company has launched a study into the chemical properties of his farts because they actually kill mosquitoes. He claims that no one in his home village has ever contracted malaria because his gas can kill instincts within a 6-mile radius.
This seems scientifically irrefutable.
Yeah.
That he's actually stopped his entire village from becoming sick because of his farts.
The claim about him popped up around the internet on Monday.
There's a picture, not to go off on a track. I'm sure you've seen it, where there's this woman walking in some village, and she's got flies.
No.
She's wearing like yoga-type pants encrusted in her ass.
Yeah.
In her ass?
Yeah.
Flies?
Yeah, they're just, it's a picture that's made the rounds. It'll make you vomit.
Oh,
just thought I'd bring
that.
It up in case you wanted to use it as a Christmas card. By the way, the two companies reportedly studying the gas, his gas, were not identified, and his claims could not be verified as of yet. But we'll keep an eye on that for you in case it's true.
I'm betting not.
I'm guessing not. Honestly, who's allowed to bring a machete to work these days? A Taco Bell employee at an Austin, Texas location of the chain was arrested on Sunday after he allegedly swung an 18-inch machete at a drive-through customer's vehicle. The story goes that the 21-year-old named Samuel Hemet got frustrated after the customer said he was having trouble hearing him through the speaker.
And that was enough to attack him with a machete?
I guess he was having a day.
Huh.
He allegedly swung his weapon at the customer's truck, hitting the driver's side mirror twice.
Now, when you walk into work with a machete, doesn't somebody say something?
You would think so.
Hey, Lou, what's the machete for?
Yeah. Hemet was arrested and charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, by the way.
Oh, it's Taco Bell.
There's another robbery story. A man with bandages on his face robbed a Central Peoria auto parts store on Monday, taking more than $150. The mummy-like bandit went into the auto zone, displayed a handgun, and demanded money. The clerk asked the robber if he was joking when he did it.
Was his head completely bandaged up?
I think it was, Steve.
Wow.
I think it was like gauze, and he wrapped it around his head because they keep indicating that he looked like a mummy.
Did he flee like the classic Universal monster, the mummy? Very slowly dragging a foot.
Lumbering out of the auto zone. But apparently the man said no, he wasn't joking.
No, I am not joking.
And again demanded money.
I'm a little insulted.
The man...
By the way, this is a stage robbery to teach you how to be more secure.
The employee...
They didn't appreciate me over at the Subway.
The employee handed over all the money in the register, and then the thief ran out the door, and no one was injured in the incident.
What was the best one you ever saw? The guy who went in as a tree? Do you remember that?
There was a guy who sharpied his face.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
To disguise himself.
That was a great one.
Just scribbled all over his face and thought it would disguise himself.
They're calling this guy the Mummy Marauder.
Yeah, Steve, Nick has a picture on his monitor here if you want to see it. Not only that, he also has really bad dreadlock wig on. Yeah. Oh, my God!
Oh, no! You're going to die!
Oh, dude, you're going to die.
Oh, my God. He's sorry. Preston's gonna die.
Hold on, Trey Thomas just walked in the studio.
Very big and bold.
His arms are folded across his chest. All right.
I hear y'all back here talking about me. You know, I thought it was all bees and family. My bad. You know,
the word make its way down to you. He's actually doing a mea culpa on air.
I go on Twitter and I'm like, oh, they talk about me having a couple wings.
A couple?
Well, you know, yeah, it was maybe a few.
Yeah, the bro said it was a plateful.
It may have been, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know, you know? So, and then next thing I know, there's a company-wide email that goes out, and I had to tell the missus, like, babe, they have sent the email on me about me having some wings. You know what I'm saying? My bad. I'm sorry.
You got to hear back the story because Preston relayed how he comes out.
So here's the deal.
Yeah.
I was talking about this earlier. If you're just tuning in, you missed it. Trey Thomas works at the Fanatic, our sister station. We had food set out in our Xfinity lounge.
Yeah.
It's clients come by and they bring us food and we talk about, you know, how it tastes. And Nick's got an appearance. It was Marchwood Tavern. They had these wings out there. I hadn't had any yet. I just see part of somebody. From my point of view, I can only see half of a human being out there. And I go, Marissa, did you put out an email that, you know, everybody could come down and eat? And she goes, no. So so I open the door and I come out of the door like this. I go, hey, clapping my hand. Who's eating my goddamn food? And I turn around and there's a mountain standing there in front of us.
And I apologize. I'm my bad. I didn't know.
You shook my hand.
I'm sorry.
It was all good.
Yeah.
And then we're in a meeting later on, and Bill's like, I put an email out. I'm like, you put an email out?
And Preston's face was like,
do that.
Say what?
But now, you know, my bad. It will not happen again.
No, and the
wings were very tasty. I enjoyed them.
They were really good.
Yeah, they were really good.
But what's happened a few times, Trey, is that I've gone out there. I wait till later in the show to eat, and I go out there, and all the food's gone. And I'm like, man, I didn't get to have any food. They bought it for us. So that's why I was kind of, I was like three quarters joking with the hey thing. And then, okay. But part of me was like, save some for me.
Yeah, well, I just said, you know, you and I see each other a lot in the morning. We write up, have nice conversations. I don't know, Preston, he really likes me. I don't know what the story is. You know, you keep talking about coming out to Keenan's and all that.
Yeah, yeah. Man, come hang out with you guys. Yeah, you know, so.
Yeah, but we just
I'll buy you lunch.
No, I will buy you lunch. You know, I owe you guys some wings. All right, but I'll see you guys.
Thanks for coming in here. Trey Thomas.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That is so funny.
Dude, she was standing in the doorway.
Oh, my God.
That was great.
You had a legitimate look of, what the hell?
Well, also, he stood up real tall and crossed his arms like this.
He's
huge. Like, oh, my God. He's such a nice guy, though. Oh, my God. That was funny. And that's a bizarre file.
Oh, yes. Right.
Yeah, we're done with that. All right. Why don't we take a break? Come back in a moment. Michael Rappaport is scheduled. Is he here?
He should be here.
He's scheduled
any
to be
minute.
Here. Should be here in a little bit. We're going to take a break and come back with that and more. Stay with us, friends.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Our next guest is back in Philly to appear at Helium Comedy Club. He's got a show tonight and then two Friday and Saturday. And if you, you've seen him in tons of movies. And if you watched the show Atypical on Netflix.
Yeah.
Please welcome Mr. Michael Rappaport to the program.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Good to see you, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Wonderful.
Excited to be back in Philadelphia.
Excellent.
And I saw you do the Rocky Steps.
I had to do it. Yeah. You know, I've been here a few times, but I never got to properly do the steps. And I got to be honest, it really got in my soul.
Did
I
got
to be totally honest. You know, I've loved that movie. That's my introduction to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure a lot of people that aren't from here. And you know, I saw that movie when I was 6 years old. And, you know, it was the right time to do that. And I literally...
Sort of in the dark, you go running. You did the full run. You did a good clip. And you get to the top. When we watch the movie, and it's funny now, at the original Rocky, and he turns around, the skyline looks completely different.
Yeah.
He's in a lot more buildings. But for us, like when we had, you know, Carl Weathers in the studio and stuff like that. And, I mean, that, for God's sakes, it's such a great movie.
The crazy thing is when you run up the steps, you don't look weird. You don't, you know, because it's done several times a day, every single day.
Yep.
You kind of blend in. I think you look different and weird if you...
Just walk.
If you just walk up the steps,
you gotta
like
run
up
them.
Yeah.
You gotta run up.
I think
them.
You have a few feelings when you're doing it too, because you have the excitement initially when you're at the bottom of the steps and you're looking up, and then you start running and you realize it's higher up than I expected.
More steps than it looks steps. Like in the movie.
Yeah.
That's what I said. I said I could understand why the first time he tried to run up them, he didn't make it.
Yeah.
He didn't know.
Right.
He underestimated the amount of steps, and then of course he tried it again, which is the kind of the theme
and then,
of Rocky.
Exactly. You get to the top, and there's this triumphant feeling, and
yes.
it does get inside you a little
yes.
bit.
Yes. So it was cool, and it was, you know, getting getting me ready for my shows at the Helium Comedy Club, and I feel I'm ready to rock.
The steps are kind of strangely spaced, though. I don't know if you guys know.
They're designed to F you up when you run up.
They have the little platforms. It's like when I go to a Phillies game, I go to the ballpark, Citizens Bank Park, and any ballpark like that. When you're walking down the steps to get to your seats, you have to decide, am I going to take one gigantic step?
Yes.
Or am I going to take two little bitty steps on the way down?
You don't want to fall going up the steps. You certainly don't want to run up the rocky steps and trip.
Yes, because you'll look like a dick.
Yeah, that will look good.
The comedy thing. Yep. So this is, you know, and obviously I've loved your film work and all throughout. There's so many movies. You've been to so many movies and shows that we all love. But I didn't realize you actually do have a origins in comedy, stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
In fact, when your mother, who is a broadcaster, radio personality in New York, when she got divorced and remarried, she remarried co-owner. Is this true?
Nah, that's like Wikipedia gets things confused.
Because I got this from another thing.
Yeah. I used to hang around the improv comedy club with my sister, my half sister's mom. It's a whole family thing. But I would go around the comedy clubs when I was a kid. And at that time, I was only focused on being an NBA basketball player. But it definitely, you know, later on, and the fact that I adored Eddie Murphy so much, you know, was what started me as a stand-up, which eventually got me into acting.
But it's in there. So stand-up was in there in the main thing, and then acting took over?
Stand-up was what I wanted, what I thought I wanted to do. But as soon as I started acting when I was 19, 20, like, I was like, this is what I'm comfortable doing.
You know, the long-standing sort of general accepted aspect of acting in comedy is that people who are really good at comedy, like, you know, like, can become really good actors. It's a lot harder to go the other way.
Yeah.
So I think and that's why you've been such, I think, a really effective actor. You sort of have to have an understanding of ways to get emotions out of people. Would that make sense to you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I think they're both forms of performing. You know, I think being a comedian, you know, I think you're either funny or not funny.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just either something you have or you don't have. And, you know, fortunately, I think I know how to entertain. I'm definitely disruptive, and I'm definitely a trash talker. And that's the, you know, what I'll be bringing to Helium this weekend. But, you know, I'm comfortable with both. And, you know, I enjoy doing both, and I'm really excited and happy about, you know, starting to do stand-up in the last year. And obviously I'm excited to perform in front of the rowdy, good crowd of Philadelphia.
You're a funny guy, though. I mean, so you talk about the court that you legitimately are a funny guy. And so I think, you know.
Funny how?
How do I make you laugh?
Yeah. Right. Like, use you?
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, I think it's kind of a shame that you've had success in acting and in comedy, because I think right now, you probably could play in the NBA for the Knicks.
I wouldn't say that's far-fetched. I'm not saying I should be a starter, but the Knicks at this point.
Yeah. Off the bench.
You can be like the fourth or fifth off the bench, no doubt.
And I would have no problem doing
the team,
that,
right?
But I'm done with the Knicks.
Yeah.
I'm officially. No,
what?
I will not support. I'm not. I'm done.
But that's like the Pope. The Pope would say, I'm done with, because, I mean, you are.
No,
I'm
done with the Knicks.
Really?
I will not support this team until James Dolan is the owner.
Is it the 18 years of rebuild?
It's all of it.
Okay.
It's. I mean, listen, we have an owner who's in a blues band. Think about that. He's a singer in a blues band. Okay. Think about how ridiculous that sounds. it's like something out of like a bad, you know, comedy. Yeah. The owner of the Knicks team is also a touring blues, like, he's a beat. Look at this guy. I mean, James Dolan is in a blues band. I don't support the Knicks anymore. Oh, I'm tired of the rebuilding.
Do you support anybody?
I'm a free agent.
You're a free agent?
I'm the Kawhi Leonard of fans.
Okay.
Well,
I've always been a Sixers fan. Yeah. From the Doc, Andrew Toney, World Be Free, George McGinnis, Daryl Dawkins, Bobby Jones, Billy Cunningham days, to obviously the Moses and Doc when they put it all together, to the AI. I've always loved Philly. You know, I'm willing to, you know, listen. I'm willing to listen because I'm finished with the Knicks. Well, I'm serious.
Have they made you an offer yet?
No, they haven't made me an offer. I just went on the free agent fan market, but
we'll give you a 1-year contract.
Maybe we can sign you.
Yeah, I'm a good fan. Yeah,
dude,
yeah.
Jesus, you'd be an awesome fan.
I know. So I'm be honest, I'm not going to be an Eagles fan. That's a whole other conversation. That's church and state.
Yeah.
But with the Knicks, I'm done supporting that team.
Okay. Wow. All right. Now, I know. I sense the passion. You talk about your ability, and you basically, you are a master of trash talking. And yes. I see you pop up on different sports things yes. and so on and so forth. And you are really good at it. There's a fine line. What do people get right about trash talking, and what do people get wrong about trash talking?
Oh, that's a good question. I think for me, you know, being mean-spirited is not necessarily trash talk.
Yeah,
you know, for
I
me,
agree.
It's got to be within the realm of ball breaking. I hope I could say that on the radio.
Yeah, yeah.
And
a little absurd.
A little absurd.
Yeah.
And I think if you're going to be a trash talker, you must start with yourself.
Yeah.
So I always poke fun at myself first to establish it. Sometimes that gets missed, but I think there's a difference between being mean and
right.
and breaking chops.
Right.
And I'm
I agree.
Definitely a chop breaker.
Yeah.
I try not to be mean. I mean, I think it's a fine line. Sometimes you could step over it, and I'm cool with that. And, you know, I feel like if you're going to play this game, you know, you should also be all, you could apologize. Like, you know, you don't want to spit in faces. You want to step on toes sometimes, but spitting in faces is not what I'm into.
That's a good phrase.
I think a well-informed fan is the best way to go. And we had, I can't remember what the comedian's name was, but he lives in Minnesota, and he says, he brings his son to games, but there's the rule is no cursing,
uh-huh.
right? But do your research, and he does, and he'll, you know, before he goes to a game, whether it's, you know, yeah. baseball or basketball or whatever, he'll do the research on the opposing team.
Oh, on players. And, oh, yeah,
trash,
yeah, yeah.
Trash talk. Trash,
yes.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
With knowledge.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's good, too. Well, yeah. if you have a clip of Arsenal loaded up, it's even better.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, I think the last time we had you in here was you were promoting the Tribe Called Quest documentary.
No, yes. There was another time.
He came in another time
yeah,
after.
But that. I, yeah, that was the first time I was up here, and I remember we had a really good conversation about that, and that was a pleasure to do that film.
I got to see it since then, and I, as I told you, I thought it was really, really well done.
Thank
Any
you.
Plans for more directing like that?
I would love to do another film. I would love to do it. Yeah, I mean, the only group right now that I would love to do a documentary about is actually the Roots. You know, obviously they're Philly. I think their story should be told. You know, they're so prolific, and from where they came from, their influence, and then to the Fallon Show, and you know, the fact that they're like a touring they're almost like the Grateful Dead of hip hop. Like they continue to tour.
They're unbelievable.
They just keep going. And I've always been a big fan of theirs and their story.
Preston had a quasi drum off with Questlove here in the studio.
Yeah, I play. So we set up two drum kits in here and we jammed.
That's cool.
Great. Yeah, he's a good guy, man.
Yeah, he's a really, really good guy. I mean, yeah. Obviously he's a sick drummer.
I have a number of people texting in, and we were definitely planning on getting to this, but the videos you make are great. Most recently, the one that exploded is this moose fight video.
So crazy.
It's a scream.
I know.
Yes, you do know.
No, it's crazy because you do these videos, and it took me 30 seconds to do that video, literally. And you never know. I do videos all the time, and it's usually when I'm walking my dog.
Yeah.
And I put them up, and you never know. I just put them up, and this thing's like a worldwide.
Yeah. I'm going to play the audio for those people who may not have seen it yet. It's these two moose fighting in a suburban area, and there's two male moose. They're locked their antlers, and they're going at it. But what Steve and I are amazed at is that the audio, if you've captured, it sounds like you're right there, man.
Well,
like you're standing next to these moose.
I feel like an idiot because when I first heard the audio.
You thought it was real?
I thought it was legit because he's asking
I did as well. It was Nick that pointed it out because I'd seen the cat. You know, you do a couple of videos like this, and then I go, like, of course that's it. Now I recognize the voice because I was laughing my ass off.
Yeah.
But you nailed it.
So let me play this. These two moose are fighting, and it's Michael doing the commentary as if he's standing there watching it. Here we go.
Holy Ma, come outside! There's a moose or a buffalo or some. They're fighting. Where the are you going? Ma! Holy This is some National Geographic Ma, call a cop to the ASPCA! There's animals fighting in the front lawn! Oh,
so funny.
Oh, my God.
So that one got
That's
me.
That's great.
And then I've been watching the ugly cat videos for
yeah.
a while.
Yeah.
And you sort of now have a bit of a relationship with that ugly cat. Is that right?
I haven't met the cat. The cat's name is Wilfred Warrior. He's in London.
Okay.
But
it
yeah,
has like a thyroid thing. Where
he's got something. He's got bad eyes and a bad teeth. But a very sweet cat. But same thing, I did the video, and they have on take a life of its own. But, you know, he's a cute cat, and the owners get a kick out of it.
Right, so they tweet out these, or put on Instagram these videos of this cat, and then it's just hilarious to me that there's... That's the best of what the Instagram can do, what social media can be.
Yeah.
It's just fun.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, I never know how it's going to be perceived or taken, but sometimes these videos, they'll just go into like super viral mode.
It's so hilarious, fun. Though, Michael, when they say, and we talked about it earlier, like, hey, maybe we can do something. We've had people come in who are supposed to, we're going to hear from some experts on how to get viral traction. No one knows how to do that. It either happens or it doesn't. You can take your best swing, but you know, and your stuff caught on, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. It's like a whole other thing that some people know me for, and it's just, it's funny to me. I enjoy it.
So you've been doing the stand-up. Who comes... Describe the audience that comes to see you. I mean, what are they mostly fans of? Because you know, the stand-up's is a newer aspect of you.
Yeah, they're all over the board. You know, some fans love me from sports stuff.
Yeah.
Some fans have just seen me as an actor for years.
And you're on Howard a lot, right?
Yeah, I'm on the Stern Show. Yeah. And there's always a handful of Real Housewives fans because I love the Real Housewives. and I'm in that world because I love those shows so much. You're looking at me pissing, like, love. Dude. Love.
Oh my God.
Adore.
What is it about it?
To me, it's like soap operas. Like, I just love it. I think it's the most entertaining television we have. And I love reality TV at all, but across the board. But I don't know why we haven't made The Real Housewives of Philadelphia yet.
So it's in the works.
It's in the works.
Oh,
yeah.
There's
really?
A girl, yeah, there's a PR rep that brings some of our guests in, and she's selling it. And apparently a network is now involved with it, but they shot like a sizzle reel or, you know, a pilot for it. And it's not Philly, but it's the main line.
Have you ever done the Andy Cohen?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah,
all the real watch What Happens Live. I'm all, that's why when you say people come because
yeah.
they know me from that because I to me it's like it's almost like sports for women, but at the end of the day it's like they're like soap operas.
Yeah,
they're like soap operas, and I just find them very entertaining. I don't judge them. I love the shows.
I have no
people
legs.
Belittle them. I think it's dope.
Listen, I am a huge fan. Of Hallmark Christmas movies. Everything in my DNA says I should think they're crap, and I adore them. I don't. I know they stink, and yet I love them.
You'll even say you know they stink. I don't think the Housewives stink. Like, I'm like a real fan.
I watched I watched the Jersey one. That's when...
That was the first one, right?
No, I don't think that was the first one.
Orange County.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, but I watched that. My wife started watching it, and then, you know, a lot of times what your spouse watches, you end up watching. And I got into it. Like, I definitely had my favorites and least favorites, and I enjoyed it. And we watched it every week for a while there. I don't even know if that particular one's still on.
Oh, it's still on. I was watching it last night, Casey. Okay. Yeah, I saw it last night.
All right, so wow. If you're just tuning in, it's Michael Rappaport who's here, and he's going to be at Helium Comedy Club tonight and through the weekend. So I have a question. So you love these shows. Do you like the people?
I don't judge them.
I
look at them like characters, but their pain is my pleasure. So I don't want the housewives all buttoned up, and I want them nutty, yeah. But I'm nutty.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be anything, you know, like I'm whacked out of my tree also, so I have no problem with it. Like I really, like, I'm a fan. Like, I truly, that's like what I watch is sports and housewives, and then there's other various shows and films and streaming and stuff like that I do, but it's sports and housewives definitely top.
So who would you fanboy out over the most from the Real Housewives shows?
Probably the great and recently retired, hailing from New York, the great Bethany Frankel, who I consider the Michael Jordan of housewives. But there's
Jordan.
A bunch of them. Every time I've met them, I'm excited to meet them.
Who pisses you off the most? It's got to be a villain. Who's your villain?
Probably Kenya Moore from Atlanta. She's the one that drives me the craziest.
You know your stuff, man.
You know
yeah. Oh no, I deep dive in it. Like, I could talk. Like, I deep dive. I'm all in. So definitely Housewives fans show up to my shows. And like I said, I do some stuff on reality TV because I'm very passionate about
it. I love it. God. I love that.
Okay, so given your choice, you are able to go to the NBA championship final, seventh game that night, or an all-star reunion live event of the Housewives.
Now, come on now.
I know. It's like picking your favorite child.
No, it is. No. Without a doubt. Game seven, period. Right. But I would consider if I could try to squeeze in both. Like I would be like, is there an Uber, a train? Like if I sprint, can I get to both? But it would definitely be an NBA game or an NFL game or even a prize fight. But it would after sports, it would be.
You know what we've been seeing on Instagram these Frank Grillo and Brian Callen and Stallone throws these boxing parties. You worked with Stallone and Copland.
Yes,
you got to get invited. Have you seen these parties?
Yes, I've seen those parties, and I'm good. You know, I had my moments and time working with Stallone on Copland were so perfect for what they were supposed to be. I you know, like for me, the people that are like that mean that much to me, I don't want to be friends with them. I kind of like to keep it at a distance. You know, he was so generous with all my Rocky questions and all my Rocky trivia. And, you know, we did lines from every single Rocky film. I would do Rocky lines and he would do Adrian lines. Like, so I had my time with him. And, you know, if I got invited, of course I would go. But, like, you know, like there's certain people that like I just like to keep like.
I hear you.
You know, I like the message and not so much knowing. You know, much more about them.
Like
so,
I know you want to keep them a little bit on the perch. And I understand that. You know, because they mean so much to you. We had Frank Stallone in here, and he's a character too, man. And a lot of stories. But
yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure with Frank. But yeah, I mean, you know, I've seen the pictures of that. And I know some of those guys. So I'm sure it would be fun. But I'm cool with, you know, just having my fandom.
I got you.
I'm going to bring up Atypical. It's on the third season. I've watched the first two. I'm in the middle of the third season. Mm. And I didn't know Bridget Lundy Payne.
Yeah.
She's so funny.
She's really funny.
I didn't know her before this.
This is kind of her big thing, yeah. The girl plays my daughter. She's great on the show. Both those kids are excellent.
It's a series about the kid on the spectrum.
Yeah,
correct?
The kid on the spectrum, right. and you know, the family is sort of a dysfunctional family who's figuring out. Yeah, I mean, like every family is dysfunctional, right. And we're figuring out, and he's figuring out how to navigate through life. And we are as parents with a son with autism, and
people love this show.
It's a good show. Yeah. It really is a genuine show. It resonates with people in an emotional way, and I'm very proud of Atypical.
Yeah,
so.
It's real. I love it.
Thank you.
So with Netflix, do you just bang it out? You film the whole season, and then that's that.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, we film the season, and this season, season three, 10 episodes. And you know, you just knock it out, and hopefully we'll be back for season four. I think the show deserves it. The response has been great, and it's gotten bigger and bigger every year, which is not always the case.
And I love the humor in it.
I appreciate that. I'm very proud of the show, so I appreciate
that. That's cool, because she's been talking about it. I'm like, maybe I should start. I mean, I've watched virtually everything else you've ever been in, but I've been hearing accolades for this. Doing the whole thing with Netflix, and you have movies now that are, you know, that like, did you see The Irishman?
Saw The Irishman.
Right, so like a week in the theater and then right to Netflix and Amazon Prime and all these things are generating great content. Are these the best of days for the actor part of you?
I mean, I think it's crazy because television is where it's at. You know, yeah. I mean, the movies are not what they used to be. Obviously, you know, there's always, you know, some that pop up. But I think the best content and the best opportunities across the board are on television.
Yeah.
And I'm all for it. I'm fortunate, you know, that I've been on this show and you know, continue to work. And you know, whatever form it is for me as an actor, I'm happy to do it. I've been able to do so many good different things throughout the year, so I'm just cool.
Yeah,
I'm happy to be rocking and rolling.
It's funny who finds you and where your audience learns about you in the first place, because you know, Friends is also on Netflix.
Yep.
You know, and I referenced you earlier this morning because we were talking about Phoebe and how her plot line ended, and you know, you had a 4 or 5 episode run on Friends, but people will discover that now that didn't watch it the first time around or rediscover it, you know, nearly 20 years later.
It's great. Like Friends is kind of like the modern day Brady Bunch. You know, like we watched Brady Bunch all the time. The episodes would come on.
Yep.
You'd have your favorite episodes, favorite scenes, these iconic things. And Friends is kind of that. It's timeless. And, you know, it finds new fans and, you know, and it's on regular television and it's on streaming services.
It's on
and,
all the freaking
yeah.
time.
And it's, yeah, it's all over the place. It's worldwide. And, you know, it's like a time capsule.
How many takes did it take for you to shoot that bird?
Oh, it's probably like two or three takes. Okay. And I wish I hadn't because I feel like, you know, me and Phoebe could have done great things together. me and Lisa Kudrow could have continued on as lovers.
You've been sort of like the pinch hitter on a number of shows where you've come in multiple seasons, like Prison Break.
Yep, that was a good show.
Justified.
Yep.
Yeah, so you come in and you always do good stuff and you always give an extra charge to a show that's, you know, kind of looking for another kick up.
Yep.
Do you like being that guy who comes in and joins a cast or is it a little bit of a pain in the ass to come into a click?
Nah, they're, you know, for the most part, you know, like the guys on Justified were great, very supportive. You know, I don't look at it that way. You know, as an actor, you know, you go where the work is. You try to do the best you can. You try to do the best of. You never know what's going to hit, what's not going to hit.
Right.
And you just keep, you know, you keep swinging. You keep rocking and rolling. And I love acting. It's always going to be my first love. I love stand-up, you know, and that's why I'm excited to perform here at Helium in Philadelphia. And I just love performing. That's like yeah. what I get off on. That and running up the rocky steps.
Running up the rocky and making moose videos.
Yeah. Exactly.
I did notice, and I forgot about this. You did a series. It was a sitcom called The War at Home.
Yep.
And Rami Malek was in that
That's
show.
That's right.
Right?
I put the battery in his back, and who would have thought? Now he's an Academy Award winner.
What was he like on that show?
You knew he was talented. Yeah. I mean, you never could predict this kind of breakthrough thing. But he definitely, you know, I remember he was, you know, I was aware he was, you know, a talent.
He played your son's friend who was gay and couldn't tell him that he was in love with your son.
Yes, yeah. but like, you know, like I was, you know, we got along good. And, I, you know, like I said, I knew he was a good actor.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Have you ever appeared on any episodes of any of the 3 million Law & Order shows?
I did SVU.
Did you?
One episode, yes. I did SVU a couple of years ago, and that was cool.
Were you guilty?
I was guilty.
With an explanation.
I had an explanation. I was reformed guilt. Reformed guilt.
All right.
But it was cool doing the show. It's kind of like a rite of passage.
What was the first thing you did? Because the first thing I remember seeing you in was True Romance.
Yeah, I mean, that was the first big thing. I did a film, an independent film before that kind of got me going called Zebrahead that I starred in, that Oliver Stone produced, which was a very good film and got, you know, won the Sundance Film Festival. And then I was, you know, off to the races, and True Romance was definitely an important film, and I love that film.
You've been in so much, so many different things, working with different people, and it's funny. You know, from that, from Tarantino, and you've done Woody Allen stuff as well.
Yep.
So besides all the stuff that's associated with him, you know, what's it like working with Woody Allen?
He's a great director. You
know,
he's very hands-off. He lets you do his thing.
Do you prefer that? Or do you like a happy medium where you got the guidance, but they let you have your space? Or do you prefer somebody just say, I know you're a professional actor. You've been working at this. Do what you do.
I like whatever gets it done.
Okay.
You know, I don't like to be micromanaged if you don't need it. Sometimes you do need you know, more insight into what's going on. I think that, you know, everybody's got to have respect for everybody. And, you know, when you're on a film and television set, everybody's there. Everybody's a pro. You know, the sound people, the wardrobe people, the hair, makeup people. And I think the best way to do it is empower them from an artistic place and sort of like, that brings out the best in them because everybody, you know, started in that for that reason.
I know what you've got to be on sometime is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I would love to be on that show. I love that show. Yeah. I would love that show.
Oh, they're right in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, I love that show. So
we've actually been on a couple times.
Have you guys been on it?
I think it's mandated. Cool. We're in Philadelphia. Yeah.
I got to be on there.
Yeah. You ever encountered those guys, Rob or Charlie? Or
yeah, I know Charlie a little bit. I've met him, but I haven't worked with them. But, you know, I'm aware of them, and obviously I'm a fan of the show.
I wanted to ask you, because I think it's the last time you were here, we talked about the Natasha Lyonne thing where she was evicted. You had to get her evicted from a property. And now she got, I guess her life is back on track. She does the show Russian Doll.
Yep.
She's doing everything. What happened there? How did that turn around?
I mean, she turned you know, around. You know, we've been friends for a long time. We're still friends. I love her. I'm very happy that she's, you know, back and doing great things. You know, she just, I think
it was
I
nominated a bad period,
her.
Right?
Yeah. She had a tough time. But, you know, she's a miracle. And you know, she pulled it together. And it's been, you know, a while. And you know, now she's, you know, kicking butt. So it's good for her.
Yeah. Well, listen, dude, we got to wrap it up. We're really glad you came back, that you're back in Philadelphia. You ran the Rocky steps.
Yep.
Properly prepared for the show tonight.
Yep. Ready to join the Sixers.
Yep.
There's an 8 o'clock show tonight at Helium, and then Friday and Saturday, 7:30 and 10. You can go to heliumcomedy.com, and I'll bet you those tickets are going to sell out, so get them while you can.
One of the Saturdays is already sold out.
Oh, really?
I believe the 7:30 Saturday show is already sold out.
So jump on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, keep kicking ass, man. It's great to see you.
Thanks for having me back, you guys.
Michael Rappaport, guys.
I appreciate it.
Thank Helium Comedy Club. We'll take a break, and we'll be back in a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
93.3 WMMR proudly presents the return of Preston and Steve's Christmas Miracle. Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Edition. Thursday morning, December 19th at the Excite Center inside Parks Casino in Bensalem. A live broadcast. An audience of 250 superfans each out to prove their Preston and Steve IQ in a game show style throwdown. At stake, the best and biggest giveaways of the year, with a pile of fabulous prizes from our favorite sponsors and advertisers. Listen to claim your spot in the studio audience. Details at WMMR.com.
It's a Christmas miracle.
From Parks Casino, What a Night, and 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
This is a great tweet. It says, hey, people say that the Avengers Endgame is the best crossover ever. Me, an intellect, think that Trey Thomas walking in on the President Steve crew talking about chicken wings is the best crossover ever. And they were taking video when he came in here, by the way, and that's been posted when he popped in our show earlier to confront me about calling him out on the chicken wings on the air.
He's such a nice guy.
He is a nice guy. It was very funny at the moment. Hey, you know, I got a couple things. I got an email from somebody. I don't know if this is a full-on topic starter or not, but it is. It's a statement. Nick, you received this as well from a guy named Mike, and it just says, I contend that a clean, satisfying poop is in the top five non-sexual feelings in life.
I replied. Did you?
I did not.
Okay.
Well, I told him, yeah, it'd be worth talking about. Right, and then he writes, discuss.
What do you consider clean?
No wiping necessary.
Yes. Yeah, when you have to wipe excessively, that's just not fun.
However,
in case you guys are
wondering. Okay.
Yeah.
My response was, and Kathy, you can tune out. If you have a phase six and you make it to the bathroom in time and are able to feel good about it and not be embarrassed or ashamed, you know, like you got the bathroom of yourself, maybe have the window open, to me, that's better than a clean one.
Okay.
I'm going to actually listen. Subjects of fecal matter. Talking about bodily function. The truth is, I think I might side with it. Of pleasurable feelings.
Yeah, that are
satisfying feelings.
Non-sexual in nature. It says the top five non-sexual feelings in life.
Listen, I certainly am happy about it, but I might put it in the top 10.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah.
And I purposely have not done an evaluation on that. I haven't really thought about these things. I haven't done an inventory in my mind of what I think would be of the top feelings in life that are of non-sexual nature are, but I am open to discuss.
There are things in the excretory realm, taking a robust dump, especially when you feel compacted and, mm-hmm. you know, that I just don't feel myself sort of thing, and it sort of performs, you evacuate fully. Yeah.
I've always said anything leaving your body except for blood and vomit usually feels pretty good.
Yeah. And I have actually crap blood once, and it felt warm.
Yeah. Okay.
No, but when you can actually kind of like feel yourself losing weight, you know, that's a pretty great feeling. But what are your thoughts on back scratches? That's not sexual in nature, right? Just
that's
a straight up a back scratch.
Got my own technique and everything. What, or nothing.
What about teabagging?
That's sexual.
Oh, is it?
No, but then you have to consider eating. Eating's pretty damn awesome.
All right.
You're really hungry and you get something that's super duper tasty.
No, drinking is better. Like if you're like really, really thirsty, like
well, it's
going
subjective.
On like a big hike and stuff like that.
True.
It's
overly satisfying.
So on that level, again, you're talking about those things that give you that, because obviously that's a pinnacle feeling, but there are things that I think, like if you're talking about eating then, so you're going to put something in the same house with sex, with splooging, if I may get medical here, what food brings you closest to that? That experience.
Well, it would depend on whenever, you know. Yeah. What I mean? Because whatever I'm absolutely positively in the mood for.
Because you
sometimes desserts are the greatest tasting thing, and then other times, like, I don't feel like having something like that. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. I was at a little get together on Friday night, and I got to tell you, Steve, there was an array of dips that I just absolutely loved.
An array of dips.
Yeah. The mother of God. An array of dips.
And so I started at the buffalo chicken dip and the hoagie dip, and I was enjoying myself over there.
Buffalo dip. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, man.
But then I left the dips to go, you know, that was like the appetizer, and I left the dips to go over to where the meals were.
Yeah.
I was kind of sad that I left
the
dips.
Had to leave the dips.
Because I thought...
Did you go over to the BJ section?
I did not. No, but I had to go... I wanted to go back to the dips. I started, but I had already made a plate of the meal, so I couldn't throw that away, or B, put it back into the dishes. So I had to eat it, and it was a bad choice. I should.
All right, what I don't want to do is go down the path of what tastes great.
Yeah, okay? No,
we don't want that.
That's
we
separate
want,
from this.
Right, we want physical.
I'll give you some examples,
please,
that are coming across of the text here. So, like, someone writes, "Q-tip in ear, number one."
That's a good feeling.
Somebody says, finally getting that sneeze out.
Yes.
Yes.
Could be one of the top non-sexual feelings in life.
Especially when you're outside.
When semen comes out.
No, stop
no.
it.
No, I'm thinking, I'm sorry.
You keep going.
I know, it's wrong.
No, when you're outside and you don't have to worry about volume, you don't have to worry about anybody standing around you, you can just let that sneeze go.
That is a liberating feeling.
Mm-hmm. Or if you've been holding the fart in for a long time.
Another liberating feeling.
That can feel very liberating.
When you have, and sometimes if you get it where you feel you are in a situation where there's nothing you can do, you cannot even do the Christmas club and let little bits out here and there to make installments, and you are able to fully let go, that's a wonderful thing.
Here's a really good one. If you've got like a nagging little back tension, and all of a sudden that little crack, and you're like, oh. It does feel awfully good.
You know what actually feels good for me, and it's horrific on the you know, downward slope side. If you have any sort of stomach deal or stomach virus, and you go through all that stuff, that first point at which you can actually relax and fall asleep, you know, where you've gone through those nights where you're up all night, where you can actually finally close your eyes and get comfortable.
Oh, when a fever breaks is pretty great, too.
I'll tell you what
if
I felt.
If you've just been feeling horrible.
Oh, my God.
You get that wave of, oh, my God, I feel better.
When the first time I had propofol, and, you know, you was for a colonoscopy, and you're wrapped up in that thing, that felt pretty comfortable and wonderful.
I think, though.
You know why Michael Jackson loved it so much,
right? I think my top two, and it's a close one, too, but I would have to go with feet over back, but. Like a foot scratch and a back scratch.
You're very tactile when it comes to that stuff.
I am. And, you know, some people.
Foot scratch?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, getting like a, yeah. Huh. Yeah. I mean, see, you have to get past like the first, like, I don't even know, like 10, 15, 20 seconds of where it really tickles.
Yeah.
And then.
You get in the zone.
Your body gets sort of used to the sensation. A foot scratch is good, but you can't expect somebody to scratch your feet unless they're nice and clean.
I do love the feeling of, though I can't do it much, but I love the feeling of when it's a little colder outside, the sun.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. You know what? And like that first spring sun.
Yeah.
When you know, it's like the Beatles song, you know, it hits you. Kathy, what about taking your bra off at the end of the day?
Huh?
No, that's not.
It's not gratifying?
Nah, a bra doesn't really bother me.
You know what, though? I love to take your bra off at the end of the
no,
day.
But
what
like,
if I did it?
No, but like maybe a dress with, you know, if you had like stockings or tights on, that, yes.
Heels off?
Heels off is just like, okay, good. Now you're not going to snap your ankle and die.
All right. I'll tell you what does. You ever have your shoes where your shoes are laced? It happens a lot in the winter. And it's sort of constricting blood flow, and you take it off, and your feet are incredibly itchy, or you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, and then you get the scratch in,
I assume, I've heard, though, I've never had a cast, I've heard it's that feeling when you can scratch in the...
Yeah, that's a good feeling.
So an itch well scratched is similar to that.
Because this is a text, and I'm going to concur with this, scratching your butthole.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Kathy.
Yeah,
when it's itchy.
Yeah,
when there's an itch.
What does that mean, Kathy?
You really dig up in there and you relieve yourself.
Take a shower. It means you're dirty.
No, 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 no.
You're such a bitch.
Yes, it does.
Some are such a
bitch. Listen,
itchy butthole means you're dirty.
Or it just means you have itchy butthole.
Someone has scarred you.
Yeah.
You need to shower.
I have a sparkling clean butthole.
And you're not you're not immune to an itch from time to time.
Sometimes you get itchy.
Or a scratch. Yeah, an itch.
Now we're not talking, you know, going full, you know, wrist deep into your ass. I'm talking about a gentle scratching, you know.
You should put some sunshine on it.
Whenever you see, like, the footage of the bear, you know, of a bear standing against a tree rubbing its... Yeah. This is something as old and it's interspecies.
Yeah. Somebody texted in also getting that gristle out of the meat tooth.
Yes.
Oh,
that's a good feeling.
Or a finding out that one of your teeth has had a popcorn kernel over it.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
All right. So, man, I have three things here. Always. Preston, I think you would concur on this one, but there's also a baseball element. When you hit the driver on the golf course and it's so clean that you barely even feel the ball hit the club head.
Same thing with a baseball.
Same thing with a baseball. Yep. When you hit the sweet spot.
Oh, so you don't want to feel the balls during the head.
No.
Not when
you don't
want to
hit the balls, hit the head. No.
Nope.
Nope. You just, and the shaft is nice and.
So it's so smooth
that
you don't. It's like, wing.
Yeah, and it feels so good.
You don't even feel it. Yeah, that's a very good one.
What about a good stretch?
That's one of the best things, too. That is absolutely. And by the way, this is an email that we got. It said, I contend a clean, satisfying poop is in the top five non-sexual feelings in life. A good stretch. Nick is stretching right now.
Oh, that felt good.
I think you just did that.
No, he was pooping.
It was almost psychosomatic, yeah.
He was taking a crap.
Phase six. Wait, Case, did you have one more?
Nope. It was a golf baseball stretch.
So this kind of goes along the lines of a good foot rub for you, but for me, a good either scalp rub or, like, if you're going to get treated, somebody washing your hair.
So as a man who has a tremendous, I agree. I do like that scalp massage because mine is readily available.
Yes.
It's not encumbered by hair or anything like that, and that really does. A cozy, warm blanket on the classics, all the things that, you know, when I'm watching my Hallmark movies and you know, talking about boys with the other ladies.
Well, I go to Shaving Grace, and there's one of the stylists there is a lady named Katie, and she will wash my hair better than the dudes do.
I love watching your hair.
No, Katie's the bomb.
It's so awesome.
And when she does it, it's cloud nine.
Your hair is enormous.
Yeah,
I could spend all afternoon on your hair.
It takes
like
a while.
A beach ball.
Yeah, it's like washing a globe.
I actually have to put a golf flag down so I remember where I stopped.
It's like Sputnik.
Unbelievable. Sometimes I get lost. I see an ear and I know where I am.
One of my favorite non-sexual feelings is slipping into the hot tub. That is a good one.
Better in the winter or the summer?
Better in the winter without question. Let me go to Heather. Hi, Heather. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Can I just say something to Kathy?
Yep.
Truer words have never been spoken. An itchy butthole does mean you're dirty. Wash your ass.
There you go. She's validating.
Thanks for calling, Heather.
Itchy butthole does mean you're dirty. Clean your ass. Yep.
All right. Anything else?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. The whole reason why.
She was just thinking.
Buttholes.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. So there's nothing better than cranking the heat up to like 74. You get out of the shower. You slip on your PJs. And there are freshly washed flannel sheets on your bed.
I just
slip in the bed and it feels so good.
Oh, yeah. And there's a well-paid whore.
Yeah.
No, I'll tell you that. So my wife puts on the holiday flannel sheets on my bed. They're awesome. And I do one of the things when I had my bathroom redone, because both my wife and I have our own bathrooms, which is awesome. I had that heating unit put over when you get out of the shower. It's like in a hotel room.
It's like a fry lamp, man.
Basically, yeah. And it's awesome.
I don't like flannel sheets, though. I like feeling a little...
Too hot.
Yeah, it's way too hot. And like...
I don't get under them. I get on top of them.
Yeah. I think flipping the pillow over, that cool feeling of the pillow, that's an underrated feeling as well.
Hang on. I'm sorry. I'm reading text messages. Here we go. I'm going to go to Chris. Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Buttholes.
Rantlers. What's up?
They're wonderful, too.
Yeah. So I have
Rantlers.
You know, like, when your toenails are just a little bit too long, and
yeah.
then you get out of the shower, you cut them, and you put a fresh pair of socks on, it's better than sex.
He's right. He's right.
Wow,
if you're,
I don't
if you're,
know, I don't know
so that your nails don't catch on the socks anymore, yeah. everything's trimmed and clean. I'm a big personal hygiene dude.
Yeah.
I like that. So yeah, I'd agree with that. Do you? Some people get off on the actual clipping. They find it a good feeling. Do you feel that way?
Oh, a lot.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I hung up on him. Sorry.
Can you call him back?
Yeah, please call him back.
What about when you get like a fingernail caught that when
you're in your butthole?
Like, when you're cleaning your dirty butthole? No, like oh, if you're man. Putting like your hand through like your sleeve, getting your shirt on, and there's like a little bit of a fingernail that's
it.
A bad feeling.
I hate
well,
it.
So my left foot. Pinky toe toenail for some reason catches in my sock all the time. And oh. I've trimmed it down. It's there's almost no nail left and it still catches and it pisses me off. I don't know what to do about it.
I take, have problem. The toe taken off.
I was thinking about yeah. it. Like my mom had her pinky toes removed.
Did she really?
Yeah. I've told
we talked
times.
About it's it. It's like Cher had a few ribs removed.
She only has eight toes.
Eight toes. I've heard of this woman. She only has eight toes.
Four toes per foot?
I am going to... Four toes per foot. let me go to Ed. Hey, Ed, good morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thanks, man. What's up, buddy?
Not much. Listen, I've got the number one. Guys, I know you are going to relate to this. Kathy, I've never actually thought to ask a woman's perspective of this. But guys, imagine when the tank is full, you're holding that pee, you've got some beers in you, and the buzzer's going off, the molars are floating, and
yes.
when you relieve that pressure,
yep.
yeah.
oh it's, my God, it's euphoric.
It's pretty awesomely satisfying. You are correct, Ed. If you've had to hold it for one reason or another, you got in the car, you forgot to go, you're on a long trip, everybody's got it, and then you finally make it there. It's pretty amazing. Thank you, Ed. I appreciate it.
So I'll tell you this. When I had my prostate removed, and I recommend this highly.
Yeah,
even if you don't need it removed. No, when I had because I used to have the issue of you'd pee a little bit, and you still feel like you still have to pee.
Mm.
I get a full emptying of the bladder, and if that is a satisfying feeling, you know, like you've it's done. And
can you hold a lot more urine since you don't have a prostate any longer? Because part of being a man is eventually your prostate will grow in size
yeah.
and it will put pressure against your bladder, and therefore that's why frequent urination is a sign of an enlarged prostate because it's pushing
against
your bladder. All
yeah,
the time.
And when I go fully. So mm-hmm. I used to have that all. I mean, so where I used to get up like you know 7-8 times a night, and then you know just maybe 1 or 2 times a night.
Nice. Let me go to Robert. Robert, you're on. Good morning.
The explosive destruction of a large demon whitehead.
Oh, wow.
God, you made that disgusting.
Yeah, yeah. That was awful.
Very well done. I like the delivery.
There's some people only by a blackhead.
But that pressure.
You're gross.
That
you're
pressure. God. No, he's right. There are videos.
He's still gross. Yeah. You might be right, but it's disgusting.
As far as relieving
yeah.
pressure and feeling better oh. afterwards, yes.
Oh,
it is.
If you've had an infection next, if you ever had a nail removed, a toenail clipped improperly, and it gets infected, and you can, get ready, you can, like I used to do, heat up a needle and lance it, and the pus comes out.
Wait a minute. Good time. Robert wasn't done being creepy. What were you about to say, Robert?
I'm just looking for my tissues.
Okay.
Abducting a child.
Oh, God.
Thank you, Robert. The police are on their way right now.
Where are the bodies buried?
Let me see. Okay, this is, I don't know if this falls in the category or not, but I'm going to go to Alan. Hey, Alan, you're on the air. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Kenny. How you doing?
I'm great. What's up?
So with Christmas coming up, with everyone getting electronics, peeling the plastic off slowly from the electronics is a great feeling.
So I'm a gadget dude, obviously, as you are, and anything, various things off an iPhone is awesome. Off an Amazon Cloud Cam.
Yeah, the static
incredible.
Stuff. Not the plastic wrapping, but if
right.
it's on a screen.
Yep, it's awesome.
Yeah, because it's so perfectly
it's pristine.
On there, and as you're peeling it off, there's this. It almost triggers ASMR for me a little bit.
It's a perfect little thing.
Yeah.
It's come out of the placenta and it's ready for the world.
Oh, okay. I'll give you one.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I'll give you one I just thought of. When you get water in your ear. And then it comes out. Later on, that little trickle of warm water.
Yes. With semen.
It's warm, and it relieves whatever that weird sound is, and it feels good, yes. too.
Okay, to that point.
Yeah.
If you've ever had your ear irrigated properly, and you get that whoosh, and then you sometimes, like it... Oh my God! Everything is the sound is so much more acute and better. I've had that happen.
I've had my ear irrigated. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, there's the explosive part and the whoosh, which is not too cool. And then suddenly,
like that.
You know, and then you can hear. Oh.
Steve, you do the Neil Med every single day.
I do.
When I do it, usually 5-10 minutes after the fact. Some water will come out of my nose.
It happens all the time, and it's embarrassing. You got to make sure you know, because if you tilt over, it'll happen. If you do the Neomed, the spray, even like the neti pot, and you know, you'll lean over, and you won't realize there was a bit of water still stored up there, and people think it's snot, and you have to say, no, this isn't snot coming out of my nose. It's just water.
Hey, speaking of snot in your nose, how about this one? Going to bed with a stuffy nose, and as you're laying there, the nose then becomes clear and you can breathe through it.
Drains.
It's a good one.
I do like
now, these are more on the medical level, but they still count.
Well, it's non-sexual, so
it's non-sexual,
counts.
Yeah.
Yep. Here's another one. It says, putting Elmer's glue all over your hand and then letting it dry and peeling off the dried glue is an amazing feeling.
Oh, my God. Cutting yourself.
Where does Preston... Where does eating scabs rank, Preston? I wouldn't call that satisfying.
No, but you did enjoy. Well, to a little extent, did you enjoy it a little bit?
Peeling a scab, it's a little painful. I don't know why. It's just
what about peeling sunburned skin?
The only good part about that is that that rough texture is gone.
Yeah,
and that's the only thing.
I crack my kids' backs like pretty much every single day. They ask me to pick them up and give them a hug, and then crack their and I go. I love that feeling, a nice little crack back.
When it's done to you or when you're cracking someone else's?
Well, both, actually. It is satisfying when I do crack their backs.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me see here. This one's kind of good. It's not, I don't know if it fully qualifies, but I'll go to Zach. Hey, Zach, good morning.
Hey, guys, I'm having trouble getting out of the cock-a-doodie car.
That's a chance for you to use the drop. Yeah.
You made Casey very happy because he had been wanting to use that clip for a long time.
He didn't get out of the cock-a-doodie car!
I've been wanting to call in for weeks to say that just so Casey would get a kick out of
it. You gave him a great non-sexual feeling.
Thank you, Zach. What do you think ranks up there for non-sexual feelings?
So, like you said, I didn't know this applied, but like I said, I was trying to get in.
Right. Oh, we lost him.
And you take the gamble on a new dish, something you haven't had or tried before.
Yes.
And it is exactly what you wanted and more. That it is your new favorite dish. You're going to get that every time you go there. That is the perfect moment to have.
That is like a general good feeling. It is a little different, but it's still a wonderful feeling. These are very nuanced things.
Yeah.
What about when your ears pop in a plane?
That's good.
It can be a little painful occasionally.
Well, when
an ear pop.
When they had the pressure before and you're just waiting for that relief and it finally comes, I do like that one.
I had a friend who had to have his nose broken intentionally. He broke it on his own.
It's got to feel good.
Well, that part of it did not feel good. But you know what did feel good was after recovering, it was blocked essentially for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Right.
And they removed all of the gauze. And like it's this long, slow pull out of all of the medical stuff that was jammed up there.
It's disgusting.
But then he could breathe again.
Yeah.
And he was a new man.
It's the most disgusting video you'll ever see.
When you scuba dive, speaking of the ears popping, as you go down, the pressure increases and then you have to do what's called equalizing.
Yeah.
And so you squeeze your nose and you breathe out. And so it's like your ears popping like every 10 seconds.
Yeah.
In a plane. So I kind of like it, actually. Yeah. Because you keep doing it and it keeps relieving you as you go on. So it's that sensation over and over again. Let me see here. What is that in the... I don't know what this means, but I'm going to go to Mike D. and see. From Beastie Boys? Mike D., what's up, man?
Oh.
Dan?
Huh?
Dan?
Dan from Port Richmond.
Oh, Dan from Port Richmond, Preston.
Oh, well, for the purposes, we're going to call you Mike D. of the Beastie Boys. Dan, what did you want to tell us ranks up there with non-sexual feelings in life?
Well,
when you have major surgery and they put a catheter up your penis.
Yeah.
And it's in there for a few days. And when they take that baby out, the nurse comes in and grabs your thing and then takes that out. That is an awesome feeling.
Really?
Is it really?
I had it.
I would have thought it was a bad feeling.
No. In fact, I was terrified of it.
Back in. I said, could you put it back in just to take it out again? She goes, you wouldn't want me to do that. You're unconscious when we put it in.
Mm.
Wow. But yes, it is quite a great feeling when that catheter comes out.
All right. So it's
thank you,
relief,
Dan.
It was
a relief. In fact, when I had the surgery, the prostate surgery, the biggest fear I had was of the catheter. And he's right. When you're out, they put it in. And when you're when they remove it, it's just kind of a little bit of pressure and it's gone.
All right. Is it more of like a peeing feeling, or
it's more like I would say having a wood planer run across your penis.
Oh,
no,
okay, yeah.
I'd say it's like a little I have described it as peeing a milkshake.
Okay,
you know.
Somebody says that stubborn booger finally coming out.
Yeah, I know.
That's definitely a good sensation when you finally the one that's just been up in there forever.
Like in Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah. Finally, yeah.
Stubborn burger.
Booger finally got out.
You know what feeling I hate is like when you're drinking, especially if you're like taking a pill or something, and like it feels like the water's going down sideways. You know what I mean? Like
formless water going down sideways?
Yeah. I mean, that's the
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like a hard gulp.
Yeah, gulp and almost.
Like what about a pretzel when it goes down sideways and it gets caught in your throat and then it finally passes? That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done it, and especially like a pretzel chip that's really thin and almost like a razor blade of sorts.
Or like a potato chip.
Oh, that hurts.
Like a ridged potato chip.
Big
time. It's like eating shrapnel.
I'm going to go to this one, and then we're going to have to wrap it up, but I need to understand why. I'm going to go to Mike P. Hi, Mike, you're on the air.
Hey, Nana Booyah.
Nana Booyah.
What's up, man?
Nana Booyah.
What's up? So my girlfriend thinks this is like the weirdest satisfying thing for me. We have a clear top on our washing machine, and I find it like really oddly satisfying when I watch the water fill up the tub and have it start going. It's the weirdest thing.
Okay.
Just like it.
Let me ask you, is it the sound that it's making while it's filling up, or do you like just looking at it?
I like just looking at it because I love like the smell of clean clothes.
I kind of know what he means. It's like the thought of this
course.
Is going to be clean soon.
Oh, my God.
Yes, exactly.
God. Yeah, I'm with you, Mike.
Thank you, Kathy.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Kathy, when that happens, you just sit there and scratch your butthole while you're watching.
No, my butthole doesn't itch because I shower often.
God, you are obsessed
with
clean.
I'm just saying that's what it means.
No, not talking about that. You're just obsessed with clean.
Yeah.
The potential of this dirty laundry to be clean so soon is satisfying.
I will say I'm every bit as clean as you are. And occasionally, when exercising, I will. It's a product of sweat sometimes.
You get an itchy butt.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not. Sweating and becoming dirty.
Well, sweat. You know.
Dirty.
Yeah.
Let's go back to your problems. Wait,
no, so getting out of the shower after a long day and being clean, yes, that everything you're talking about, that's when I get that feeling.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah.
See, she's like that guy in Creepshow that lived in the completely...
the antiseptic.
Antiseptic
thing. Yeah, Eli
eventually
Wallach,
all the roaches came in.
Right.
And one gets in.
And,
I know we're wrapping it up, Preston, but this text has me confused because I'm conflicted.
A good Q-tipping is better than bad sex.
It is good. I wouldn't say it's better than bad sex,
yeah,
though.
Bad sex is way better than a lot of things.
Yeah, bad sex is like bad pizza, right? It's still pretty damn good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but really bad sex, especially if the guy doesn't like it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I want to thank Mike Gerard. For sending that email in. It said, top five feelings non-sexual. He said, I contend a clean, satisfying poop is in the top five non-sexual feelings in life. Discuss.
Listen, it's like
we did.
It's like a Reddit topic. But sometimes you have to explore these things.
Of course.
I mean, these are questions, you know. And also, it serves to help you appreciate the little things in life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like on a hot day on the golf course, when you take your hat off as you're driving in the golf cart and that cool air going through your hair.
That one does feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Ceiling fan.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break and let's give you some beer. I have a variety pack from Yards that I can set up with caller number 18 at 215-263-WMMR. Of course, holidays are here, and it's time to get together with those you love or don't. But bring cheer, bring beer, bring a Yards variety pack.
Fine Yards Brewing Company's beers at Union Tap in Northeast Philadelphia. Caller 18, got to be at least 21. Coming back in a moment, Bizarre File is up next.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast, 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Marissa posted a Twitter, you know, she made a post on Twitter and, you know, for you to comment on. It's basically saying the most satisfying non-sexual feeling in the world is. And so there's obviously going to be a lot of responses on something like that. This one I like. It says, hearing Kathy say marron glacé.
Marron glacé. So, I was just talking to Bill about that again. Uh-huh. He was like, it's so funny that that happened to you.
I love it. I love it.
Marron glacé.
Marron glacé.
Okay. I just wanted to know the color.
All right. We're going to do the Bizarre File.
Yeah.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
This morning, it is brought to you by Delilah's Tinsel and Tassels. Delilah's Holiday Party. It's next Wednesday, the 18th, featuring DJ June, the Delilah's Sexy Santa Contest, and more. Visit Delilah's.com for details. All right, so I saw the pictures of this. It's pretty solid. A Florida school administrator is facing a pay cut of nearly $44,000 and a possible demotion for donning a barely there flasher costume to work on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Coker. Director and Procurement and Warehousing Services of Broward County Public Schools allegedly inappropriately flashed children, staff, and colleagues at the celebration. Employees at the brunch were offended, and some suggested that they could not tell if Coker was actually wearing a costume or was truly naked.
Oh, I'd like to see this.
So I saw a picture of it. I mean, it's got bush and the whole thing. Yes.
No.
It's pretty damn funny.
You might have thought twice about that.
And at a party,
yeah,
knock yourself out. At the school office, probably not a good idea.
Look, it looks like you can see my bush.
Coker asked partygoers to get rid of any photographic evidence of her elaborate garb, complete with fake nipples and faux pubic hair, after seeing their reactions. She allegedly said, "Hey, everybody, relax. It is fake. Please erase the pictures." Two children saw Coker's ensemble, according to the complaint, which claimed her poor judgment reflected badly on the district and its employees' values. She could be demoted to manager of materials and logistics for the gag, so probably want to rethink that. The luck has run out for a Louisiana man allegedly caught rigging bingo games to win more than $10,000.
Wow.
John Cook was booked into the county jail on Friday on a felony theft charge and two counts for failing to appear multiple times following his arrest. Police say Cook was recorded on video at a bingo parlor manipulating a Bonanza bingo game by hand-picking the balls he wanted to play and then hiding the winner until he was ready to end the game. The warrant says...
Diabolical!
The warrant says that Cook did this four times and won thousands for three people, including his sister. One of the winners was captured speaking to Cook before the drawing, and two winners were seen giving Cook money after the game. He is in jail on an $11,000 bond.
Some of those bingo games you see in the big tents with, you know, 200, 300, 400 people playing at a time.
Yeah. And sometimes it's a big jackpot.
You bet your ass,
it's some serious cash, so I can see why it might be a bit of an issue. Well, there's family drama, and then there's family drama during hunting season. A Department of Natural Resources conservation officer recently learned that firsthand when he investigated a dispute between two brothers in which one of them eventually admitted to spraying deer repellent around his brother's hunting stands. Mike Wells received a complaint of hunter harassment after meeting with the complainant. He was given two SD cards from trail cameras that showed a subject wearing a yellow backpack sprayer who was covering two hunting stands and doing so with an unknown substance. The complainant identified the suspect as his brother and said that the property is located next to a private camp willed to him and his brother by their father. He added that he was extremely frustrated by his brother's continued harassment while he was on the private property. On the morning of the firearm deer season, Wells approached the suspect's brother while he was hunting in his blind on the private camp. It was discovered that the suspect brother was illegally hunting over bait. You're not allowed to do that.
Yep.
The suspect brother immediately admitted that he had sprayed both blinds because his brother was intentionally cutting off the deer by hunting the public land next to the camp.
Yeah, they sound like special people.
Wells inquired as to what was sprayed on the blinds, and the subject brother stated that it was called liquid fence, which is a substance used to deter deer from the area.
I don't know what's happening.
He later apologized and admitted that he let his emotions get the best of him. A warrant request has been submitted for hunter harassment and baiting deer where prohibited. A Florida man was recently sent a parking ticket 7 years after committing the violation.
7 years after the fact?
Yeah.
Huh.
The city of Tampa changed its citation system and is flagging unpaid violations that might have slipped through the cracks.
I'm sorry, he's dead.
Joe Reeser said the policy is wrong. He paid a $40 violation from 2012 recently. He said, I don't know how many other people are they're dinging on this. What's to say that tomorrow they won't send me one from 15 years ago? But because the car he was driving was leased, the city initially sent the violation to a finance company.
Is there a statute of limitations on things like this? It's like a traffic crime?
It's a good question.
An infraction?
You would think, right? Yeah. Maybe. Well, I don't know. I mean, who knows, man? But they're sticking him for the price. All right, we'll do one more story, and then we will wrap it up. Oh, yeah. Steve, I thought of you immediately. The discovery of a massive nest of huntsman spiders on the south coast of Western Australia.
Of course.
May be an arachnophobe's idea of hell, but it's also providing researchers with a rare insight into how the spiders live.
It's allowing them to prove that Australia is hell.
Ecologist Angela Sanders posted a picture of a huge nest of arachnids found inside timber boxes installed on Monjibup, which is an area. The timber boxes are meant as a habitat for pygmy possums, but one box revealed another group of creatures nesting inside, and all the spiders are thought to be from one family. Now, most spiders do not live in big social family units, so the discovery is unusual.
They're very gregarious.
Spiders normally look after their offspring only until they're old enough to fend for themselves, and then they're expected to go out on their own. And she said, we now know that this is a species of huntsman that live together normally under the bark of trees. So, Steve, they're changing their ways.
Got 11,000 kids at home that won't leave the nest.
The female of the species can grow up to 15 centimeters in size. The huntsman spiders get really big.
Yeah, F that.
And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you at this time. So as we take a break, I'm going to remind you that we do have a lesson question on the other side. But Casey's gesturing towards some Christmas miracle passes. Ooh. So I think I should give some of those away right now. Let's do three of them. We'll start calling number 10. So 10, 11, 12 at 215-263-WMMR. Requirements are you need to be free a week from today. So next Thursday, Reddit at Parks Casino, you got to be there early, okay? So count on being there around 6:30 a.m. And we'll get you into the Excite Center. You have to be at least 21 years of age. You can bring a friend. That friend can be there and win some prizes, but can't have their name in the drawing for the actual Christmas miracle contest that we do, which is a trivia contest about the Preston and Steve Show. So you need to know our program in order to have a shot at winning some prizes. So let's get you on now, 215-263-WMMR. We shall take a break, come back in a second. That lesson question and more is on the way when we return.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're on the cusp of getting to the weekend. Give away our Word of the Week prize tomorrow. Kathy's big bag o' prizes.
Yeah.
It's the holiday gift giveaway. You had some stuff you wanted to mention, Kathy, that's in the package?
Yeah, you know what? So if you want to, we are naming them all, but if you want to see a picture of them, it's actually up on the Preston and Steve Instagram page. So you can take a look at the picture that's up there, some of the items that are in it.
And yeah, I just wanted to say, if you, so there's something on there for everybody. You know, you've been mentioning that, but there's stuff for women, there's stuff for men, there's a ton of stuff for kids. So if you've got a lot of kids that you shop for, this is perfect for you. Even little kids, the Fisher Price Corn Popper Ride-On is on there. Loomies are on there. Rainbow Butterfly Unicorn Kitty, Nine Lives Surprise, Zach, all this stuff for kids. So it is really a great prize, and it's worth over $1,000.
All right, excellent. So we'll do the letter at the end of the program. Hey, people have been asking about Christmas Miracle and different ways to win and asking if you can do that through podcasting. Yes, you can. Marissa
yes.
has set that up. You'll have to listen to the podcast to get the information on that. But she also pointed out that there are some appearances this weekend. So if you can't call in during the program, you want to go to one of these appearances, they will be giving away tickets for the Christmas Miracle. So let's see. First ones are on Friday, tomorrow. So Marissa will be at the Sprint location at 17th and Market in the city. And that's from 4 to 6 p.m. So nice, you could just walk there.
Yeah.
So 4 to 6 p.m. Friday at the Sprint 17th and Market. And then later on that day, Bar 1 at 9th and Catherine. From 9 to 11 p.m. And every 30 minutes, they'll be giving away some Christmas Miracle tickets.
It's a tough ticket to get. With obviously, there are great prizes involved. But go to these events because your chances of winning, if you go to one of the events, is much higher than if you keep trying to call in. You know, so take the time. You know, you don't have to take much time. But if you're desperate to get one of these tickets, go to the events and you got a much better shot.
And at Bar 1, that's a Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Party, by the way.
Oh, so that's awesome. Yeah, always so fun.
They're doing a few different ones. Irish Pub, there's one on Sunday at 20th and Walnut, 1 to 3. Marissa will be there once again.
Don't miss them.
And there's an Eagles Watch Party, and they'll be giving away tickets every 15 minutes. So stop by for that.
Damn.
Yeah. Oh, and if you want to meet Jackie Bam Bam, Saturday, he'll be at the Sprint at 12th and Chestnut in the city from 1 to 3. And he'll have the Christmas Miracle tickets to give away as well.
Wow.
Yeah, so a bunch going on. A
lot of ways to win.
We should do today's lesson question, speaking of winning, and we're going to give away a pair of tickets as MMR Rocks Motley Crue and Def Leppard, special guest Poison and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, Saturday, August 15th at Citizens Bank Park. The pre-sale just started, by the way, a few minutes ago. So let's see. How about this? Pleasure yourself in front of your coworkers is which rule in Roger Ailes's and Harvey Weinstein's Cigar and Fart Club?
Love it.
What number rule is that?
It's an interesting club, isn't it?
In the club, 215-263-WMMR. I'll read that whole thing again because I just like the way it rolls out. Pleasure yourself in front of your coworkers is which rule number in Roger Ailes's and Harvey Weinstein's Cigar and Fart Club? 215-263-WMMR. If you were listening, then maybe you know. You should call in with that answer. We'll see if you get it right. And while you're doing that, we're going to do this. The trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Dietz & Watson, the official deli meat, cheese, franks, and sausages of the Eagles. Start your pregame with their fan favorite, 100% all beef franks. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, pro golfer Tommy Gainey, known as Tommy Two Gloves, has been arrested in a major prostitution sting in Florida. Gainey is vehemently fighting back against the charges, and his new nickname, Tommy Pays Hookers for Sex.
Oh, my
catchy.
God.
It is a catchy name. Disney is being sued by a breast awareness company claiming that they're using their phrase, trust your journey, on Frozen 2 merchandise. Not known for playing fair, Disney responded by making a $50 million donation to cancer. So, my God. That's just bad. And finally, Bachelorette fans freaking out after Tyler Cameron removed all pics of Hannah Brown from his Instagram account. The not very bright Tyler claimed that he was computerizing and hit the delete Ed button.
Trash. Speaking of that, how wild was it this morning that Michael Rapaport is so into Real Housewives?
That's awesome.
And those reality shows that we didn't even ask about Bachelor and Bachelorette.
No, but I'm sure that would probably be in his wheelhouse. I know a lot of people who are into those Housewives shows. But I have no legs to stand on. I'm a Hallmark Christmas guy.
Yeah, we've all got our, you know, we've got our things.
Our bears to cross.
I never, ever would have guessed that that was his deal. All right. We'll see if somebody knows the answer to this. Pleasure yourself in front of your coworkers is rich rule number in Roger Ailes's and Harvey Weinstein's Cigar and Fart Club. 215-263-WMMR. I'll go to Mike, see if he knows the answer. Hey, Mike, how you doing, bud?
Yo!
Yo! All right, Mike. What? Thanks, man. What rule number is it? What rule number is that?
Number one, baby.
Nope, sorry.
No! So close.
Not rule number one. Sorry about that. We'll go next to, let's try, is this Sheila? Hi.
Cheryl.
What is it?
Cheryl.
Cheryl, what rule number is it?
Six.
No, it is not rule number six.
I mean, you can keep, honestly, they're not that many numbers. You're eventually going to get it.
Yeah. We said it.
There's a lot of numbers.
We said it deliberately.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We absolutely did. All right, so now I got to wait for other people to get on board. But
who's typing all this?
Cheryl.
Do we have a hieroglyphics keyboard in there?
I think they're having to work very, very quickly.
Oh, okay. All right.
So we'll go to Moik. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, buddy. All right, so what rule number is pleasure yourself in front of your coworkers?
It's right after three. It's four.
Yeah, number four. You are correct. Hang on the line, bud. Mike got it right, and we are going to give you a pair of tickets. MMR Rocks, Motley Crue, and Def Leppard. Special guest this band, Poison, and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. Saturday, August 15th at Citizens Bank Park. The pre-sale is underway now. Use the password radio to get on board for that at Ticketmaster.com. And they officially go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster.com. All right, we're going to get to music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
It is brought to you by Delilah's Tinsel and Tassels. It's Delilah's Holiday Party. Next Wednesday, the 18th, featuring DJ June, the Delilah's Sexy Santa Contest, and more. Visit Delilah's.com for the details. Five Finger Death Punch bassist Chris Cale said that in a recent interview that he has been sober for 22 months while lead singer Ivan Moody is, he said, right behind me with 21 months under his belt.
It's got to be pretty cool. Well, not cool, but it's got to be supportive to have someone else going through the exact same thing.
Yeah, Cale explained, once I got sober, he was trying to go through it as well. And we've really been leaning on each other a whole lot. If we can do it in rock and roll, then you guys can do it too. Trust me. He said, it's been an incredible turnaround in life. 22 months ago, knowing how I felt back then versus how I feel now, it's amazing. He said, I cannot go back. Cale admitted, though, that he was the quiet one. He was using cocaine and alcohol on the side while Moody was missing tours and having on-stage meltdowns and that whole thing.
And it's all bad, but there's a little bit of extra bad if you can perform your job and there are no real red flag signs, you know, that it's, oh, so you can sort of stay at it longer because your life isn't really falling apart. This is my brother's situation. He was able to perform his job fine and do all of his stuff, but he had a problem, and it took longer for him to take care of it.
Cale remarked, that was one of the things that was eating away at me, too. My guy had a huge problem, and here I am, a quiet problem. Cale was the third member of the band to get clean, following guitarist Jason Hook and since departed drummer Jeremy Spencer. Cale said, now I'm spreading the word, and I try to be the positive guy that everybody knew me to originally be, and I fell off the earth with addiction, and now I am back. And Five Finger Death Punch's eighth album, F8, will be released on February 28th.
I want to say it was like 2 years ago, just before he got sober, they were supposed to be playing at the Wells Fargo Center, right?
Yes.
And it was during the Camp Out for Hunger, and he had to pull out last minute because of his sobriety was definitely in jeopardy, and so he ended up falling off the wagon, and it was in response to somebody dying. I can't remember exactly what it was, but that was during the camp. I don't remember that.
Yeah, I do remember it. Yeah.
Yeah. And they had, was the guys at Shinedown that kind of came to the rescue? I forgot that whole storyline.
Yeah, a band filled in. Somebody, I think it was Amy Grant.
Okay.
No, Amy Grant. Black.
Cover for him.
Five Finger Death Punch will not be performing tonight, but we have Amy Grant. She graciously agreed to step in.
What?
Baby.
Versatile.
Listen, yeah, how can you not love that song?
Yeah.
All right, anyhow, Rise Against bassist Joe Principle, founding member of the band, has teamed with online auction site Reverb to launch his own online shop where he's selling off some of the instruments and gear used to help record albums like Sufferer and The Witness and Endgame, Siren Song, and the counterculture of others. So Reverb is a site that Chuck D'Amico turned me on to.
Oh, yes. Is this the drumming site?
No. It is a used musical instrument site.
Ah.
And it is great.
Yeah.
There's so much good stuff.
Have you purchased stuff on it?
No. I mean, well, it's, no. I've perused it. There hasn't been anything that I've needed.
Right.
But being, I think... Some musicians love the gear. I love the gear. It's
right.
Great. I don't need any more of it. I'm not going to buy any more of it. But I love checking it out,
yeah,
and seeing what would be really fun to buy. And there's, it's just like a kid in a candy store.
Where did you get your rock and roll drum kit trash can?
Or drum... I got that through eBay. I did look on Reverb, but everything they had on Reverb was too
quality.
Nice. Yeah, it was.
Be played.
I wanted something trashy. It was $10 what I bought. So.
Perfect.
But I did look on Reverb, but there's really good stuff on this site. Among the items for sale are a Fender Tony Franklin fretted precision bass used in the recording of Endgame, Rise Against 6 Studio LP, and the song Help Us On The Way. Also for sale is a Fender P-Bass, American 57 reissue.
Piss all over that thing.
That was used during the recording of the album The Sufferer and The Witness and its tour cycle. Additional instruments include a Fender Jazz Bass Geddy Lee MIJ, it was first used by Principal on Siren Song of the Counterculture and its supporting tour, as well as a Sonic Blue Nash P-Bass that he used on Rise Against's 2017 record Wolves. So if you're a fan of the band, you'd be able to get your hands on the instruments that were used actually in the recording. There are over 80 items in all, including additional bass guitars, amps, effects, cabinets, and more. But it's a great website, man. Stained is going to continue its reunion next year in 2020. The Massachusetts-based band, which played its first full live show in 5 years on September 27th, plans to show up at 3 more major rock festivals next year, with more likely to be booked as well. The band has now announced it will perform at the Epicenter event in Concord, North Carolina, May 2nd. Welcome to Rockville in Daytona Beach, Florida, May 9th, and Sonic Temple Art and Music Festival in Columbus, Ohio, May 16th. Guitarist Mike Mushuk said, after reuniting and playing these shows this fall, we all realized how meaningful it was to be back on stage together and wanted to continue. Bassist Johnny April said, we're excited about getting back on the road and getting our music out to some new fans. Stain last toured in 2014 and last released an album in 2011. One last story. Evanescence will begin recording a new album, and that'll be early next year, according to Amy Lee. The musician revealed the band's studio plans for 2020 in an interview that was conducted just before their November 30th show at KnotFest in Mexico City, which was canceled over security issues. It was like a riot and everything. It was pretty crazy.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
She said, we're working on our new album. Yay, for the first time in a long time. We've been just getting together for a little. We call it band camp. Little writing camps for a few days, and we just work on new music, and we got some really cool songs going right now. She said, I'm excited. I think it sounds awesome. We're going into the studio sometime in the beginning of next year to start some of it, and we're not going to do it all at once. We're going to kind of go as we go, that kind of thing. During a Reddit AMA session last month, the singer described the upcoming disc and compared it to the band's 2006 album, The Open Door. I can't wait for you to hear it. It's dark and heavy. It's also got moments of weird and sparse.
Weird and sparse.
A little bit of everything. Definitely some Open Door vibes, but not quite the same. So they are going to have some new music out. By the way, for Ivan Moody and Five Finger Death Punch, we're getting texts that came in. Phil Labonte from All That Remains is the guy who stepped up.
Okay. That's right. Yes.
And
it was not Amy Grant.
No, but I want to say Shinedown was in town that week or something. They were around that same. They may have been on the same bill. It's just, listen, after a while, they all kind of blend together. So, but anyhow, it was Phil Labonte filled in. There you go. That's what we have.
It was Annabelle.
Can we play that tomorrow?
Sometime it was Annabelle. Yeah.
We have a whole bunch of Christmas stuff to play.
We got it.
We got to start our Christmas music next week.
We haven't even started that yet.
We could get into it now.
The
one thing is that everyone gets so sick of getting bombarded too early.
I know.
But I'm feeling it now.
We only have a week now.
We do. And the whole Rantlers clip, like the backstory and the rambling, it gets me every time.
Billions.
I love that. Just when he's stammering, I love it.
Rantlers.
And I think we have all the stammerings isolated.
We have it all.
We got to eventually get to all this stuff. And listen, suggestions for any, you know, because we don't play your standard Christmas carols per se. We play some fun off-the-wall stuff. We've been playing some of these things for ages and ages. I would like to find some new things.
We talk Christmas. We talk Christmas real good.
Yeah, we do talk Christmas real good.
We talk Thai.
Gooder than most people.
From Home Stallone.
Oh, my God. That picture is hilarious.
It's the best.
Home Stallone. It's a meme of Stallone's face superimposed on Kevin. I can just hear him saying,
whoa, will you?
All right. Let's take a break, come back in a second, and see if you can maybe tomorrow win our Word of the Week prize. But I say tomorrow, you need today's letter in order to win that. So you'll stick with us, right? Right?
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Is just around the corner, and two rock monsters are hitting the road for a co-headlining stadium tour. Motley Crue and Def Leppard, with special guests Poison and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. Saturday, August 15th at Citizens Bank Park. Tickets on sale Friday at 10 a.m. Click WMMR.com for complete details, including a pre-sale password and link. The Crew, Def Leppard, Poison, Joan Jett, The Stadium Tour. One night outdoors at the ballpark. 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Chewbacca, 93.3 WMMR. Yep, it's a standard for us. Steve, was it you that showed me the video the other day of on the set of Star Wars? And was it Peter Mayhew talking?
Oh, yeah, yes, where they had him. I sent it to you. It's him doing the lines in the Chewbacca. So, you know, like in Empire Strikes Back when he's working on, you know, Chewbacca's up on the Millennium Falcon. Well, we got to get out. You hear him talking with his you know, Cockney accent.
So he would actually be saying the dialogue that we hear in the movie as Chewbacca making the noises, but he was saying the words that they were hearing.
Right. So you'd hear what Harrison Ford is understanding in his Wookiee language. Yeah. Like, Chewie, we get, okay, I'll get out of here a second. I've got to fix the Millennium Falcon.
The problem with the hyperdrive.
They got a problem with the hyperdrive, and I can't get it to work on.
Yeah. It's a little...
They should have just left that at Chewbacca's voice.
That would have been great, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And like, and people are like, I don't understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
It's my access to that, isn't it?
It is 10:42 as we are wrapping today's program. I've had a fun time today. Hopefully you have as well. I am having
a good time, and I hope you,
hope you are too. A couple things to point out. Nick McWayne.
I am feeling good, and I hope you are too.
Is going to be feeling good.
Yeah, man.
Tonight you're going to be at Marchwood Tavern.
Yeah, great. Those are the best tasting little morsels I have ever had in my life.
I was talking about the chicken wings.
Yeah, the wings are so good. Maybe Trey Thomas will swing by. But
wouldn't it be nice?
This cat really knows how to play guitar.
Watch out for him.
I don't know which cat that is.
Well, it's Trey Thomas.
Oh, okay. Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, there's a pizza drop in there somewhere.
So. What am I talking about? I am talking about the need to eat pizza.
Eat pizza. I had a little Bill West in there.
Eat pizza.
Eat pizza.
Eat pizza.
Eat
Pizza. Actually, yeah, you were channeling a young Bill Weston.
So 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. tonight at Marchwood Tavern, the last Thursday night huddle for the year. We'll have tickets for the Cowboys game, which is coming up in a week and a half, and it should be fun. So, and then Alexa and Melissa Kai will be there. Calendar Girls Extraordinaire, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Bud Light specials.
That's the latest news. Let's get on to the latest rock.
Speaking of Alexa, you know, so we have a few. We have the main Echo, and then we have a few of the dots around the house and have them set up for the houses. And I will occasionally find myself in a room that doesn't have one, and I will ask for the lights to be turned on, and it doesn't happen. And I'm like, you idiot. I went to the garage, and I'm like, I started to go, Alexa. I'm like, we don't. Why would we have one in the garage?
Yeah.
We
and don't. I have different devices in one room that answer to different names so I can have them control different things.
So you got
to
remember the name that controls whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. It works. I love it. My wife puts up with it, though. She's, how do I turn the lights on in your room again? Mm. It's all good.
I had a friend of mine that was looking out the window at something. He was in his car, and he couldn't quite see it. And I kid you not, he took his fingers up as if he was pushing on the phone screen to widen, zoom in on the picture.
It's a dangerous time.
It is a dangerous time. It happens. No. Thank you to Michael Rappaport.
Yeah!
Michael was great. He'll be performing at Helium Comedy Club tonight and Friday and Saturday. Two shows on Friday and Saturday. You can go to heliumcomedy.com to get that information. Hello there, Pierre. How you doing?
I can't have a voice like that.
No?
No.
Why?
It's just, well, then they say she's listening in all the time on you. And then it's just like, here's an idea. Get up and turn the lights on yourself.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know.
It's the future, though, man.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is very convenient, though. I mean, I'm sure you got your hands full, and have our office, and it's dark when I go in there.
You have it in your office here?
No. We have an office in my house. And also in my bedroom, the light switch when I'm actually in bed is not. I have to get up and go turn the lights back up. Sometimes I'll sit down and forget that. Oh, God, now I got to get up and turn the lights. Yes, it's no big deal, but it's pretty awesome and pretty convenient when you can just say
it's
similar to the clapper.
Yep, but better. It'll do more for you.
It is similar to the clapper. I hadn't thought of it in those terms.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
I have six cameras outside my house, six cameras inside my house.
Oh, dear God.
I have about, at any given time, maybe probably 50 things listening to me.
How does Claire put up with it? God bless her.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, you're brilliant, and you know how to navigate it. I spent about a half an hour trying to replace a fluorescent bulb in my laundry room, and I analyzed it. I had the new bulb. I got a little stool thing. I go, right, now you've got. Now I looked at it, and you got the hooky thing there and the hooky thing there, and you gotta, because I could envision myself dropping it, and then it would explode, and all that white fluorescent bulb dust would go everywhere. So about 35, maybe 40 minutes later, I got the task accomplished, and I felt so damn butch.
Butch.
I felt like a lumberjack.
Yeah, so you should.
I should. Didn't have a plaid shirt on at the time, but I should have.
Hmm. Well, I would like to get the letter. You can do that, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
Pierre, tell us the letter.
Thank you.
It's R, as in read.
R as in read. All right. And we will give away the Word of the Week prize tomorrow, which, by the way, is Kathy's holiday gift giveaway. She loves shopping. She did it all for you this time around. Something for everybody, over $1,000 in prizes, by the way. And there's a whole list. You can see the pictures, Kathy, you were saying?
Yeah, it's kind of one. We did all of the prizes. We put them in one photo. But, yeah, you can take a peek. You can see a bunch of stuff in the pictures for sure.
Including the Kathy Romano collection.
Ooh.
From Wim Jewelry. It's a Yogi's Paradise necklace.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's Boo Boo.
Yeah. But there's loads of stuff, including a family four-pack of tickets to Happy Place and Frozen 2 Playdate with Sven and Anna. And,
which is a big one. Like, all the little girls are asking for this for Christmas.
Elsa costumes and boots and stuff. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So
the Sparkling Wine Advent Calendar. So I think it's only 12 bottles. The one that we gave away last time was all 24. So you still have time to get through it before Christmas if you win this.
Fair enough. We give that away tomorrow, so get ready. How you doing, man?
Excellent.
All right, what's up on the show?
Thank you for asking. We're going to have some nice things. We've got a $50 Star restaurant gift card. We've got tickets for Government Mule coming to the Met, one of those many shows we were talking about between Christmas and New Year's in town. And speaking of that, we'll do a block of the Allman Brothers. Dickie Betts' birthday is today. We'll do a block of the Ramones. And for the workforce blocks, we will flash you back to an event that took place tonight in 2012. And it was released in, as a CD, I believe, but we have the audio from an amazing evening of music for the Hurricane Sandy, Superstorm Sandy relief. It was 12-12-12, and I was up at Madison Square Garden, and all these amazing performers were on stage raising money for people up and down the eastern, northeastern seaboard who had been affected by it. Everyone from Bruce to Bon Jovi, Roger Waters. This was when he brought on Eddie Vedder to sing Comfortably Numb. Some amazing performances. Eric Clapton was there. Rolling Stones were there. The Who, Billy Joel. Chris Martin came out and did a duet with Michael Stipe of Losing My Religion. Just cool things like that. So we will do a block of some of those artists.
All righty. Sounds like a good day, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by Primo Hoagies. Score big when you serve Primo Hoagies. Order online at PrimoHoagies.com. And also Meineke, America's choice for auto repair. Tomorrow, Tony Luke Jr. is coming in.
Yeah.
With Craig Shoemaker. They've got a show, this a cooking show that they've been running. So they're in town.
Pretty cool.
They'll be stopping in tomorrow, and we'll wrap up the week in fine form. More of the Christmas Miracle giveaways and so on. That is it. We are done. So rage on and have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Go to work 2 weeks before Christmas, I get laid off. You can stuff your apologies and your bad feelings right up your I'd love to be the fly on the wall when you find out your manager's stealing from you. Then you'll figure out why your company is losing so much goddamn money. Have a Merry Christmas.
Next message.
I just really love my boyfriend Mark, so I'm going to eat a bunch of Brussels sprouts today. Give him a nice hot steamy Dutch oven tonight. That should really set the mood. Love you, babe.
Next message.
Bill Nye isn't a scientist. My childhood is a lie.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.